Jeff Dynamite.
Let's get retarded in here.
Everybody, yeah. Everybody, yeah. Get into it. Yeah. Get stoked.
Come on.
Get retarded.
Come on.
Get retarded. Yeah. Get retarded.
Let's get retarded.
Hello.
Let's get retarded in here.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hi there.
Hello, everybody. It is a good looking, what is it, Thursday? Yeah. And it's the best of Donna Mike. It's your old buddy, Rob Spiewa. You know what we've got today? Today we've got an entomological history lesson. You know what that is, Josh? We're going to remember about bugs. Yeah, you remember those cicadas that were so crazy up and down the East Coast about a year ago at this very time? Well, we're going to look back at that now. This first segment is, I remember it so clearly, I still got the shivers on my spine. Don Geronimo, cicada eater. Listen for the delicious crunching. It's Don and Mike bugging everybody. It's the best of Don and Mike.
The whole cicada, John Cicada thing.
Uh-huh.
These cicadas.
Oh, you mean a hoax?
Yeah. The bugs that are here making noise.
The bugs that I hear, but I cannot see.
Oh, I'll bring pictures tomorrow.
I see them all over my house, and we're being flooded with cicada cookbooks.
Cicada.
I know. It's.
I love it.
I like saying it like John Cicada.
Cicadas.
Anyway, we're being flooded with these cookbooks for this John Cicadas that are out there, and people want to fry them and put them in chocolate, and they're doing it on TV, and they're doing it on the radio. And the other night, we're coming home a little later than normal. We've been out, and I had on, you know, as well as every radio I own is pre-programmed to 106.7.
Of course. Of course it is.
Do you remember the old days? I don't know if you ever worked at the stage where you did this contest. I was working, I don't know, God. Okay, WDRQ, Detroit.
Right.
Where I did 2 to 6 in the afternoon, so from 10 till 2 at some point during the day, I would have to drive around in the DRQ van, spot somebody with the WDRQ sticker.
Hey, what's that like?
And then, but hold on, this one's different, Mike. Different than just finding someone, because I know you were Nick's sticker.
Right.
But this was worse. What you had to do was pull somebody over, and then they'd see you in the WDRQ van, and you'd go behind them, and you'd pull them over to the side of the road, and then when you walked up to their car, for every button that was preset to whatever, 93, put whatever it was, you'd give them $100.
I like that.
For every preset.
Right.
And this was before the day of where you could
just slow down when you see the van and baggie and you pre-program.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but the thing is, think back. I'm talking, this is 1980, when you had just dials and those big buttons that you had to pull in.
Yeah, you had to do a little bit more of an effort.
So you actually have to be one of those dopes. And there were dopes that did drive around with WDRQ on all six buttons on their radio. Anyway, it's a lesson that I've learned, and all the buttons in my radio are on 106.7.
Absolutely. Absolutely locked in.
WJFK.
Locked and loaded.
Anyway, I'm listening the other night to the Alex Hefty show. Now, Alex Jimenez, El Hefte is the name he uses on the air.
El Hefte.
Interesting. El Hefte.
El Hefte.
And Alex has a show called The Hideout. It's on late after Ron and Fez. And he was nice enough a couple of weeks ago. He's been helping us on our show.
Yeah.
He's really a good guy, knows a lot about radio, a little green, but who isn't?
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, would you mind mentoring? So I've been listening to his show. And he did something the other night that I'm frank, I just told him, we're going to steal. So congratulations,
wow,
Alex. And it's something very simple. I want to offer a challenge to you, Mike, to you, Buzz, to you, Rob, Joe, and Alex in the other room. Go out right now, go to the house next door and get some cicadas. Get some cicadas. Let's bring them in and see who can eat them. Why are you just looking at me?
You want us to go outside now?
No, I mean, not us. Uh-huh. Let somebody else, like Joe or somebody, go out. Go next door.
Go get some cicadas and we'll see who on the show will eat them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why, you don't want it? You wouldn't eat any?
I don't know.
I bet I could eat 10.
Really?
I bet you could, too.
Yeah, I bet you could.
It's no fun if nobody else will do it. You don't want to eat any?
Not really. You're talking about the shells, just the empty shells, or the bug itself? Oh, no.
Eat the whole thing. Hi, Joe.
I can tell you, I'm not eating one of those things.
Why?
Because I've seen all the radio websites and stuff of all the stations and all the goofy contests.
I know, but this is not a goofy contest. Let's just eat some of them. I understand.
Well, I think you want to eat some.
Joe, I understand it's overdone.
I'd eat them if they were prepared.
Yeah, but see, that's how they're being done on all the other shows.
I know they're being done like that on
and
all
everybody's
the other
just skilleting them up and frying them and putting them in sauces.
I might eat the crunchy outer shell, but not the bug.
You just take the wings and the legs off them, from what I'm told.
Listen to how, listen to the energy that just got sucked yeah. out of the room. Is that the cicada thing, or is that just Joe coming in?
It might be the cicada
thing. I'm
not sure.
Yeah, it's the cicadas.
Well, either way, would you go out
I'll go get some.
Would you get me some?
Well, wait a minute. Well, hold on a second.
I'll eat them.
I heard that they're only good to eat at a certain stage in their development, that early stage in their development, when they're all white.
And are you going to pick them up off the ground dead, or are you going to get some live ones?
I'll eat live ones.
I'll get some fresh off a tree.
Okay. All right, yeah. All right.
That's good. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because let's face it, everybody, I turn on...
I didn't know you could eat... have you eaten bugs before?
I've eaten worms before on this show.
Okay.
I think I've eaten bugs before on this show. Mm. I'm pretty sure I have.
Mm-hmm.
What was that for my purposes, or did you actually just have that little...
I had a burp.
Oh, okay.
I had a little, like, nauseous...
Yeah, I know, I
burp,
saw it.
Because the idea makes me want to... puke.
I think somebody brought us chocolate grasshoppers or something a couple of years ago that we ate. I think I tasted
one. I don't think I ate any.
Yeah. No, Don did. I think I did.
I would do it.
Yeah.
This is Alex.
Hey, Alex, when you guys did this on your show...
I know what I'll do.
Well, Mike?
Why don't when we bring the cicadas in here, and I'll drink some of the effing vodka. How's that?
Can I just tell you?
That'd be the third show in less than a month.
Hold on, can I just tell you, though?
Yes.
Is it the 26th, Robbie? That email you sent me?
Yeah.
I think so. May 26th, the guy who originally called about the...
Absinthe.
Yes. He's coming to town.
Jacob.
Yeah.
Jacob.
Buzz's friend, Jacob.
He and I have been in contact by email.
Are we going to climb Jacob's ladder again?
I hope so.
I don't know what's going to happen, but he's going to show up on May 26th with bottles of what he says is the real stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good.
The real guaranteed to put hair on your chest stuff.
If he can hear us, I just want to say one word, absinthium.
No, absinthium. Bro, I disagree with you about that.
That's for me.
Because that's the watered down stuff.
No.
Is that the stepped on stuff, Mike?
No, it's not.
Absinthe is the real deal.
I think he's bringing something for everyone. I think he's bringing absinthium, if I got that right, for
yes.
Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
The real stuff for you. And I think he's bringing me like a Czech beer or something like that.
So what's he bringing, Don?
Love.
I want the real stuff, too.
I think he's bringing you the real stuff.
I want the real stuff, too.
Yeah, because I think that, I don't know, it's interesting.
Hey, Alex, when you were on your show, and Alex, do you mind when I call you El Hefty?
No, I mean, I have been called that before. I'm kind of getting used to it.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that. I've come up with a better one.
I guess because I'm heavy. People figure I'm hefty.
Oh, no. See, no.
Never thought of
it. See, that's what I thought you were saying, too, when you said
that. No, I'm just trying to think of something that sounds like jefe.
Yeah.
Right.
See, it's hard because now you think of another word that sounds like jefe.
How about El Guapo?
That's why I call him Alex.
I dig on that.
I like Alex.
Alex.
Yeah. You like Alex?
Alex is fine. Whatever.
Well, what? Do you like El Guapo?
I do like that. That means handsome.
Okay, guapo.
How about El Diablo?
That one's good, too.
I like guapo.
Guapo?
Guapo.
El Guapo?
El Guapo.
El Guapo. Well, El Guapo, when you did this on your late night show, how many did you guys eat?
It was just my partner, Dubs, and he could only get down one.
Mm-hmm.
And he snagged it fresh out of the ground. It hadn't even come out of the shell yet.
Ooh, yeah.
Great. All right. I bet you I can do 10 of those.
The pupa stage.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Well, I think this is great that you're doing this. Yeah.
Well, I wish someone would stand up and do it with me.
I'm not.
Good for you, Don.
Why? Mike, it's timely. It's topical.
I don't like to. I don't like it when we do eating games on the show, and I watch them. They gross me out.
They're white. And
I get
douchey,
a low grade,
and I've stepped on one and saw what came out of it.
So have
what
I.
What comes out of it?
They're all over my house.
This white goo.
No, I disagree. It looks like when you break open a Cadbury chocolate egg. Looks delicious inside.
So you're going to basically have some cicada sushi.
Sure.
You're going to be eating raw cicadas.
Bring them in. I'll give it a shot.
I can feel them trying to crawl out of his esophagus.
Good. Well, maybe I can't get 10.
Well, don't you kill them before they go down your esophagus?
You mean like with the acids in your stomach?
No, you chew them to bits. And
so he went hard.
He just swallowed them.
Yep.
Oh,
I would think that would be insane.
I'd chew them, probably.
I'm almost passing out.
All right, thanks, Alex.
All right, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
And they went national. Letterman mentioned cicadas.
That's why I'm telling you. Mike Hero was 2 weeks ago telling you it's a local phenomenon.
Oh, and now this guy just coming in.
You got him?
Listen.
Let me see him. Let me see if you can hear him.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's the John Cicadas. Hi, Joe. Yeah.
I guess about 8 of them in there, at least a half dozen.
Wow, they are big. Man. Oh, yeah.
Look at him crawling out.
Are you checking him out?
Yeah.
Fresh off the tree, too. I didn't have to go far.
There we go.
Well, let's see. Now, Joe, what do you think? I should pull the wings off or just...
Yeah, take the wings and I guess you can have the legs, but the wings are what...
The wings are what?
They're just not part of anything.
They're high in fiber.
All right, I got them right. Oh, hold on. They're falling out.
Oh, dear. Are they going to be flying around now?
No, I got them, Mike. They're
back.
There's
one crawling down the side.
Huh? Where? All right, here's one. I'm going to de-wing.
All right.
What I'm going to have to do is just eat them and then scoop out the wing because
just
I can't.
Hold the wings and just eat them right off the wings.
Okay?
Okay, go ahead. With the wings before. You are a better man than I for doing this.
Wendell Hall, this you want to look at?
Yeah.
Come on in.
Stay clear so I can see this.
I bet Wendell would eat one.
See if Wendell will eat one.
Okay.
I got a whole crowd of people watching me now. This is good.
See if Wendell. Hey, Wendell, will you eat one?
Wendell?
No, Don's a freaky kid who eats bugs.
No, I mean, I'm just saying.
You just wanted to see, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to watch.
Okay, can everybody attest this is a real
one? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's wriggling and everything.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gnarly.
Delicious.
You are kidding.
Bravo.
Oh, wow.
Bravo.
What's it taste like?
A live cicada.
Nine more.
That's it.
Tastes like bug.
You are my new hero.
All right, there's this
That's
one.
Fantastic. There's another one.
Pull its wings off. Here it is. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's real.
This is good. You are a better man than I am. I didn't know you had this skill. I'm very, very proud of you.
Sure. They do it on Survivor. There you go. Pull the wings off.
Do the eyes taste red?
Mm. Oh. Oh, my God. You know?
How are they?
There is a cream filling inside.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, God. That's the eggs.
He is unfazed.
Oh, no.
This is terrific.
Bring them on.
Oh, my God.
I should win some DJ challenge for this, right?
You should, absolutely.
So all the Joe, you heard what all the other DJs are doing. What are they doing? They're frying them up?
You get an I Ate a Cicada t-shirt.
Wow.
All right, I'll have another one just because I'm hungry.
All right, good.
Oh,
there you go.
All right, let's listen to it.
Here he is.
All right, here we go.
Hold on. I got to hold him so you can hear his wings.
Okay.
Right? Oh, look at you. You're trying to get away from me, aren't you?
All right.
You know what you are? Snack.
Look at this. So the birds are enjoying them.
Look at this. Mm. Okay, you ready?
All right.
Present yourself to me.
Ah. Look at this. Have you ever gotten this kind of adulation
Mm-mm.
before?
Mm-mm.
This is fantastic. Give him a round of applause.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Who knew that would be all it would take?
What is the flavor? Describe it. You have eaten a raw cicada, still moving.
Is there any movement as it's been going down your throat? Have you felt any movement at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
Right.
Mm. I'm telling you, they're not bad.
Well, what was the flavor similar to?
You'll have to taste one to find out.
No!
Why? Come on.
No, I mean, I couldn't do that.
Sure
I couldn't do one.
Sure you could.
No, it would gross me out. No, I'd hurl.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't dig bugs. What is the flavor like?
They have a texture that's almost peanut butterish in your mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard that they squirt a little like a cherry tomato.
They do, and I said I could feel the milky center.
Yeah. Mm. But as far as the taste, does it taste like peanut butter?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit like peanut butter?
A little bit like peanut butter, a little bit like outdoors.
A little leafy?
Yeah.
You can have another one?
Sure.
All right. What is this? Four? Is this three or four?
Four.
Mm. When you say whole, Alex, are you talking about the wings and all?
Just drop and swallow.
The wings and everything, because I have been de-winging them.
Yeah.
Would that impress you, Alex?
Actually, take the wings out.
No, that would impress me if you went wing and all.
Wing and all?
Yeah, yeah. It's just stop the whole one in there.
Well, don't stand in the hall. Come in and look.
Come on, everybody. Come on in. Wait, before you do this.
Come look.
Come on, Madonna.
Madonna,
come on in.
Come on. It's
a big deal.
Everybody, the big deal is you're impressing everybody. Look at this. I am completely impressed with this.
And Mike, here I was weeks ago mocking you.
I know.
Saying this is something we could never do on our national radio show.
This is fantastic. Go ahead. Now, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for an outstanding entertainment occurrence.
Are you ready? Madonna, you see the bug?
Where's the trash can?
All right. It's right over here.
You don't need it. Madonna, look at me.
No, I will need it.
No, look at me. Madonna, look at me. Watch.
Okay.
Hey, put it up. Ah. And Mike, that was with wings and everything.
Wings and everything. How are the wings?
They're good.
Better texture?
They're really good.
You're better with wing sauce.
They're really good.
This is good.
I only got four left.
Yeah, why don't you go for it?
See, Madonna? See that?
Oh, my God, that's disgusting.
And you know, I'd like to point out also, there has been no washing down while this is going on. No.
None. Zero. Nothing. I'm a man. That's what I am.
I see DJ Fear Factor in
your
future.
Were you drinking again?
No.
You're not drunk?
No. Are you drunk, Madonna?
So we're gonna. This is number five?
Six.
This is number six. Oh, it Oops. Fell. The flavor of the Ghost Crunch.
I got him.
Okay.
Right. This one, I'm just going to, like, suck the insides out and leave the wings.
Oh. All right. Okay. All right. There you go. Oh, there we go. There you go.
Ah!
Oh, and look, Mike, I left his eyes for you.
Oh, God. Oh, my. Wow.
See, the thing is, there's a limited warranty on this bit. You can't do this bit again until the year 2021. They only come every 17 years.
He's still chugging, too, without the bod. You want to finish the head?
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
Okay. Everybody see his little beady eyes?
Yeah.
There you go.
Right. Little red eyes. That's six.
Does anybody want to join me?
Anybody else want to try one?
Anybody? Look at
anybody? No. Look at this.
Nothing's happened to me.
No.
I'm not.
All right, J Dubs is going to try one.
There you go, J Dubs. There you go.
All right, go ahead. Have one, J Dubs.
Have one.
Here we go.
There you go, J Dubs.
All right, enjoy.
Hold on. Everybody wants one now, Mike. Everybody's going to try
everybody
one.
Everybody dive
now.
In.
Now, you got two other guys trying them. You guys ready?
You winging yours?
Right. J Dubs. Ah! There you go, J Dubs. See? Look at this. It's psychological.
And who's, not bad.
Who's this dude? What is your name?
Intern James.
Intern James, go ahead. Not going back.
Ready?
Go ahead.
You're singing it, though. I'm not even winning.
All right, that's fine.
Sorry.
Well,
go ahead.
The whole thing, why not?
Go ahead.
Ah. Mm. See? I might say they're good.
And it freshens
your
breath.
There's only one left. I only got one left, Mike.
No, I'm not doing it.
Mike, only one left. And this one. Oh! I had some wings in my mouth.
Yeah.
This one appears to be dead.
No, I don't want a dead one.
Would you want an alive one?
No, I don't want a live one.
All right, one left. Anybody?
That one needs a dead one.
Oh,
going on. Oh, there it is. Seven cicadas.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
That's a shame she didn't hear this.
This is historic.
I'll tell her tonight when I see her at
fabulous.
Dinner.
This is one of the best things you've ever done.
That's good. All right, Joe, I'll take another cup.
I was impressed with eating the apple core. You had me at apple core, and now you've eaten a
lot of
cicadas.
You don't want to spoil your dinner, do you?
No, I don't really want any right now.
That's good.
But I'll do it again when anybody wants me to.
They're Atkins friendly.
That's why I'm here.
Maybe a cicada a day. Start the show with a cicada.
Now I think I am going to need just something to wash it down.
Right. Is there any movement down in the esophagus at all? Try the new cicada sub.
Although my butt is itching.
It will.
That's impressive as hell. Way to go. I'm going to applaud you again.
Well,
there's one thing to eat them like fried, sauteed, deep fried, but you down that one live.
Cicada sushi.
That's what you do. That's what you do. You don't fry them.
Of course, we'll get all the cake. You know, if you eat them live.
I'm sure that's what all these calls are right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Every line is ringing. You probably want to tell me I'm going to be dead by 5 o'clock. What, Robbie?
Not only did you eat one live, you slurped one out.
Yeah. That was the most when you... Yeah, absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I read in the paper the other day that some guy sauteed a bunch of those and got hospitalized.
Right. What paper was that, sir?
I don't
know the paper, do I?
Well, don't worry about it.
True story, but the guy ate too many. It's all about moderation. I think seven is probably fine.
What do you mean a true story?
This was a story in the news about a guy who sautéed some cicadas and got sick because he ate too many.
How many did he eat, Buzz?
I don't remember.
Well, find out the details then.
It was a panful. I'm just confirming that the story was true.
I'm telling you, I have a superhuman digestive system. I'm fine.
You only ate
but
seven.
But all you do is hear about... See, the reason I think that story is probably BS... is because there have been hundreds of stories about how you prepare them.
The guy ate 20.
Oh, my God.
Ate 20?
Guy ate 20.
Don is falling down.
Don is down.
Don is gone. Down goes Geronimo.
Flatlining. And look, his eyes are turning red.
Down goes Geronimo.
Oh, come on. That's fun. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, I'm a medical student here in Reno, and there is an allergy to cicadas because of what they eat, the pollen and the stuff that they eat.
Well, know this, if I died for your entertainment value, you bastard.
Right.
Get out of here. Where were you 20 minutes ago when I was talking about eating?
Yeah, no warnings then.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I'm superhuman. Don't worry about me. Me and Spider-Man. Hello.
It's protein.
Don and Mike, maybe I'll be like Spider-Man. Maybe I'll turn into...
Maybe this will fly home.
Hello?
Hey, got a mic.
Yeah.
You know, you ate something that was just on the ground for 17 years.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, man. I'm impressed.
I've been with worse women. I've done worse things to women.
Do you feel energized?
Oh, yeah, Mike.
Are you getting a little protein buzz?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hear me out.
All right.
Whenever Madonna came in, I don't even know who she is, but you guys called her Madonna.
Mm-hmm. She's a sales lady here.
She asked for a trash can because she was going to do whatever.
Right.
Right.
But you said you were going to eat a wing and all, and as soon as you ate it, a half a second later, you were talking again. And right. These things are so big and crunchy.
Hey, dude, are you
insinuating that you didn't eat crap.
Yeah, that's right.
So we would have, I might count the number of people we had in the studio. We had Don, Rob, myself, Buzz, right. We had J-Dubs, we had Hefe, we had Madonna, we had the new intern, and we had one
Wendell.
Other person. Wendell
you,
was in
you
here.
You guys yourself talk about the theater of the mind on
do you
the
think,
radio.
Do you believe that it was fake?
Yes.
What evidence do you have that would make you think it was fake?
I didn't hear any crunching. There was no.
Go get me one more. Go get me another one.
I want to hear it like making sounds, and then I want to hear
it doesn't.
Like,
hey, dude, it doesn't say like don't eat me.
It's supposed to be so loud.
No, excuse me. You're not going to eat another one. We don't have to prove anything to this.
You heard them
flap. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. I don't believe.
No, you don't deserve it.
Screw you guys.
No, screw you.
Screw you. You don't get him to eat another one.
Hey, screw you. And incidentally, what's your first name?
I'm not going to tell you.
It doesn't really matter, area code 365, because I already got your number, Dick. You're in the book.
Congratulations.
Because I ate them bugs.
There's a charter member in the Don and Mike exclusive Listeners Club.
Booyah.
You are now a registered Don and Mike caller.
Yeah, be happy about it.
All the privileges that come with said title.
Just
be
wait.
Be sure to watch your mailbox for your registered Don and Mike caller sign, which is to be placed prominently in your front yard.
Uh-huh.
You have been profiled, tagged, and you are now in the book. Good day. I said good day, sir.
I said good day to
good
you,
Good day.
Brett, you're in the book.
All right.
Brett, I don't lie to our listeners. I swear on my child's life.
Ned.
I ate every one of those bugs, and I swear on my child's life, you will never be able to call our radio show again.
Enjoy your last word. What's your last word there, Brett?
Shut up.
Yeah.
Brett, you're a moron.
That's why you're in the book.
There you go.
That's why you're in the book.
Ha-ha.
Wonderful.
That's why I can't swallow right now.
I was going to say, how are you feeling right now?
Throat swelling.
No, shot. I don't think he doesn't need to eat another one.
Where are you, Mike?
There you go.
I can't see you, Mike. Where are you?
Don,
hey, no, J-Dubs, bring it in. You got one more?
You want to eat one more?
I've not heard anything saying you can't eat them all. All right, here you go. Thank you.
Except for the guy that was hospitalized after eating 20. 20. Yeah, it would be the last.
This would be my eighth.
All right.
And here it is. Now, listen to this thing. Listen to it. Like the last bits of life this thing has.
Yeah.
These are the crazy bugs that Mike was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Cicadas. Okay. You ready? Now, I'm going to turn the microphone up all the way.
Everybody be quiet.
And now, Mike, my best buddy, my best friend,
yeah.
My business partner,
yeah.
My brother.
Yeah. He has not even swallowed it. They're on his tongue.
On my tongue?
Mashed out. Oh, that is foul.
Mm.
Oh,
wow. And?
I have to ask you.
All gone.
I know that I think this is a legitimate question. I know you're doing this as a, you know, you're showing your prowess in eating. Is there part of you that actually is enjoying the taste?
Yes. Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. I think you'd knock back six of them.
Do you think if they taste like dog poo, I'd ate?
No.
And have eaten more than one of them?
I think that's phenomenal.
No.
Absolutely phenomenal.
I can understand what my dogs are going crazy for.
No, dogs think they're a delicacy.
Boy, those are good. All right, well, I'm glad that I was able to amaze and astound you all.
That's right. And hey, good luck having a nice you-know-what 6 months from now.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Going to have to submerge, Commander.
Hey, the good guys moving with music here at 7:04 in the morning with Harbaugh from WPGC. Number one, the Groovers are here. A bunch of local guys making good there. The Groovers, they're from Fredericksburg, Virginia. The song, He Will Break Your Heart, the old brought up in brandy 1969 style. Check the time at 7:08 with Harvey.
The morning mayor
Questomatic lines are now open. Call WPGC at 779-1580. Request any record we're playing on Good Guys Radio. Our choice of callers, your choice of records.
Our choice of callers and your choice of records.
The John and Mike Show.
Your favorite French male transvestite prostitutes, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, the good guys moving with Best Stuff right here. Good guy Rob Spiewak sitting in playing some really great stuff. Remember those cicadas? Yeah, that was like last year. I said it was last spring. Don and Mike hopped on the cicada bandwagon. And in this next segment, we examine the cicada out, what would you call it? I don't know. The results. I'm a communications major, putting that VCU degree proudly to work. Yes, we see the results of eating the cicadas. Oh, God, I can't talk. And talk about stupid baby names on the Best of Don and Mike.
How are you feeling?
I feel fine. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, somebody said that we were discussing outside that the guy that was hospitalized might very well have been allergic to the cicadas.
Right. A shellfish.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a shellfish
allergy.
Similar type of thing. And I picked one up when I was outside, and then I smashed it to look at it, and, you know, no thanks. No, I mean, yeah, you're a hero in the hallways here today.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everybody considers this a very manly thing that you did.
Well, and thank you.
And may I make a request?
Yeah.
I would like tomorrow to get a biological analysis of how you feel.
You know.
Your system. And
you know you'll hear everything tomorrow.
Yeah, I really will.
You won't really know the effect on your system for another 17 years.
Anyway, anytime you want someone to eat some of those, I'm your man.
But you liked them.
Yeah, I was telling Mike. I didn't dislike him.
You said to me, what, jalapeno poppers?
Yeah.
Oh, I love those.
That you get the bug in your mouth, and you bite down, and then the goo comes out, and it's, not bad.
Yeah, well, you know, most of them are actually on there. If anybody incidentally is saying we're being inhumane, just remember most of them are...
Oh, forget them anyway. You know, step off. Get bent if you think we're being inhumane.
They're on the ground, most of them, saying sayonara anyway.
Well, who cares?
Yeah, I would say that most of those that you enjoy... have already done their job.
I think only about 3% of them survive. Excuse me.
Oh, my. Yeah,
buzz have one during the break there.
You know what's inhumane is taking those chickens and putting them in those, like, Holocaust trains and sending them off. But I still like chicken.
You know,
I got no problem eating an animal that's been mistreated.
That is actually their nature's defense, is their numbers. That's why there's so many of them, because so many of them get picked off when they come out.
I don't want to eat animals that have been mistreated. I would eat animals, though, that have... had less than great surroundings.
That have a rough life.
Yes, that's right.
You dine on animals that have had a rough life.
Right. That's right.
It's a mercy thing.
Well, you know, it's that Elton John song, The Lion King. It's the circle of life.
That's right.
Circle of life. You got to eat them. You got to eat animals. That's how we get strong.
Kentucky Fried Cicada.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, question for you guys.
Yes,
what
sir.
What do they look like? I'm from the Northeast. I've never seen one.
The cicada, you have to do a Google
search. You know what? I'll tell you exactly what they look like. What they look like is a giant horsefly.
Yeah. A little longer, but otherwise...
A giant horsefly. Picture a giant horsefly a little bit fatter
and
with
big
red eyes.
Big red eyes.
About the size of a
squirrel. I wasn't grossed out before, but now I'm grossed out.
And what'd you say, Rob?
They're about the size of a squirrel.
A squirrel.
They're about an inch. The ones that I had were about an inch. What'd you say?
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, got a question for you.
Yeah.
What's a brother got to do to get some cicada salad around here?
Cicada salad.
Get out of here.
Now, I bet a cicada salad would be, too gooey.
See, everybody else that's doing it is doing it. And Rob, that guy with the cookbook, is he still calling?
No, we got the jeweler.
The jeweler next week.
Now, see, the jeweler is, I mean, that's, then what, they like dip them in gold or something like that?
Copper. Yeah. But we also got a guy trying to pitch us on this cookbook.
Yeah,
in which you fry like fajitas.
Even rarer than the 17-year cicada.
Caramelize them
on me now, guys.
And caramelize them. You put them in fruit sauce. You put them in Jell-O.
I'm giving them out at Halloween.
My favorite one was the Maryland style cicada with Old Bay seasoning.
Oh, Old Bay! Hey, makes anything taste.
But even rarer than the 17-year cicada is that guy, the guest that we turned down.
Okay, so that's it. I'll eat again tomorrow if you'd like me to. I'll do that again. I know you know this about Gwyneth Paltrow. What?
Paltrow.
That's what I said. Gwyneth Paltrow. naming her kid Apple.
Apple, yes. And then some other weird middle name.
Okay, that's not the dumbest name.
Apple Sea Spray.
I did a search. Now, for the last year, just for the year 2003,
mm-hmm.
here are some of the most popular, ridiculous baby names. In 2003, 256 boys were named Sincere.
Sincere?
Can you imagine how you would screw up a boy's life?
2003?
This is just last year, Mike.
Now, who stole the candy out of the locker? Mm-hmm. Sincere? Do you want to answer first?
And some of these are too funny to be real. 270 girls were named Lexus.
Lexus.
265 boys were named Armani.
Nothing wrong with that.
17 boys were named Ventura.
Like Jesse?
All of them from the state of Minnesota.
Oh, my God. I want to say I'm deeply honored.
23 girls.
Honored to have them named Ventura.
23 girls were named Sparkle.
Well, you know, that was one of the names I considered for my...
16 girls...
They'll be strippers.
16 girls were named Reality.
Sincere and Reality. Oh, man, that's all right. What are we creating, a new hippie generation where we're going to have a, you know, 20 years from now? Yeah, well, that's what my parents named me. Mm-hmm.
And I know that you heard about the guy that named his kid Espen because he wanted, ESPN to pay him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, there are now two Espens. Some other guy said, well, if it didn't work for that guy, maybe it worked for me, so he named his kid Espen.
You know, it is the same reason that I am advocating that all parents should have to have a license.
Yeah.
You should have to have a license before you become a father or mother.
True. Now, also in the year 2000, that's why Apple's not a stupid name.
That's right, Sincere, comparatively.
You do a search and you find out this is from the United States Census.
Reality, where are you?
The movie Gladiator was a very popular movie.
Right. Uh-huh.
699 boys last year were named Maximus.
Oh, my God.
Now, why not just
now Maximus
stencil on the kid's forehead, faggot? Really?
But, of course, if you're Maximus, you that's an easy one.
I know you go as Max, right?
But still,
at some point, they're going to find out.
Right.
You know, and of course, it's going to be in gym class.
The name Max was used also very popular during the year that the Beverly Hillbillies was on TV.
Max Bear.
Right.
In 1996, when Lucy Lawless was on her TV show.
Sheena.
5,670 girls are named Xena.
Xena, that's right.
X-E-N-A.
Xena.
How about The Matrix? There was a Matrix movie that came out last year.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell me Neo.
Last year, 113 boys were named Neo.
Oh, God.
75 boys were named Morpheus.
Oh, my God.
And 4,553 girls were named Trinity.
God.
Now,
man, oh, man. It's the dumbing of America is what it is.
Since The Matrix came out in the year 2000, there are 15,062 girls named Trinity, making it the 57th most popular name for girls since the year 2000.
Oh, my God.
Wow. In 1999, it was 1,951 on the most popular list.
How many kids named Kangaroo Jack?
And for reference, also from the census,
mm-hmm.
all of these other names notwithstanding, here were the most popular boys and girls' names from last year. A lot of them you're going to not be surprised by. Anthony, Christopher, Daniel. Number 7 for boys, Ethan.
Really?
Then Joseph, Andrew, Matthew.
Where's Mike?
Joshua. Michael, number 2.
Mm.
The number 1 name for boys last year.
What was number 1?
Jacob.
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 Mm.
Jacob.
Jake.
Number 1? Number 1.
Mm. Mike or Michael is typically number 1.
Number 1 is Jacob.
That's why we're all Mikes.
How about with girls? Number 10 is Samantha. Number 9, Elizabeth. Number 8 is Ashley.
Sure, there's a Jessica in there.
Number 7 is Alexis. That's like an awful name to give a little girl. Why not just say, why not write whore on her forehead?
You're going to get letters.
Abigail is number 6.
Mm-hmm. Abby.
Olivia is number 5.
Oli.
Hannah is number 4.
Hannah.
Number 3 is Madison. Number 2 is Emma. And the number 1 girl's name in America is Emily.
Mm. Really?
Emily is number 1.
Good old-fashioned name.
So if you have a boy...
Emily and Jacob?
Right, if you had a boy and a girl, you'd name them Emily and Jacob. Maybe that's why...
Emily, Jacob, come over here. Your brother Reality's here.
Trinity's here. Lexus.
Morpheus.
Armani.
Sincere.
Maximus.
Maximus. And Maximus, we're going to the circus again. Have fun.
How great is that? How stupid are we? I mean, I know everybody thinks we went through the Cody and Cassidy phase, and then it was kids like being named Wyatt and Jesse James. And then every once in a while you got the weird one like Apple, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, then you have people that are adults that have weird names like Stone.
And I know it's Paltrow. I know it's not Paltrow, but I like saying it the other way. Yeah, Stone Phillips.
Absolutely.
Stone Phillips.
What was Apple's middle name, though? Didn't Apple have a big long name?
There were four names. It was Apple. Betty. Then what's her mother's name?
Apple Betty.
What's Gwyneth Paltrow?
That is so Midwest.
I don't remember.
That is very Midwest there.
Would you like another piece of Apple Betty? And what is Betty short for?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's another one. I guess I get that, because
I'm just kind of proud of my daughter's names, Catherine and Elizabeth.
Solid.
Yeah. I'm an Irish Catholic guy that named his daughters after a couple of English queens.
Gwyneth Paltrow's mom is Blythe Danner, and I know Danner is one of the middle names.
Okay, now, wait a minute, Blythe.
I think that Blythe was...
That's kind
of
odd.
I think Blythe was one of the names that they used. Would you do a Google search and find out what Gwyneth Paltrow... Paltrow, I'll say it the right way, P-A-L-T-R-O-W. Find out what she named her kid.
I think it's cute that you throw the T-H on the first and last name.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
And her father's name is Bruce.
It's like for years when I used to say Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
People would call it good. Seinfeld.
You know, now that I think about it, because I haven't thought about it until this very moment, don't you think, why is everybody making such a big deal when you talk about your mother's name is Blythe and your name is Gwyneth? You know, if you want to throw Apple out there, I mean, you're just keeping up the family tradition.
Apple. Sincere, I am so mad at you.
Apple, Blythe, Allison, Paltrow. Martin is actually the last name. Apple, Blythe, Allison, Martin.
Now, doesn't that sound like something you'd order after dinner?
Probably be delicious.
Buzz, pretend you're a waiter and ask us if we'd like that.
Would you like the Apple, Blythe, Allison, Martin?
Is it with vodka or without?
You can get it either way.
I'd like the vodka, please.
Done and done.
I'd like that for Maximus, but can you do that on a child's menu?
Well, we don't usually, but...
Armani, do you want one?
Talk to the chef.
What about Ventura? Neo! Morpheus!
All the kids' names.
Trinity!
And their brother Larry.
Xena! Jacob! Jacob.
Right.
Jacob.
Where's your slow brother Joe?
Hello, Kenny, Don and Mike show. Hello, Kenny?
Kenneth. Yeah, Kenny's probably just all shell-shocked because of all these names we've been
Kenilworth. I'm not asking what the frequency is. Connor.
Yes, Don, Mike.
Now, here's Connor. That's back in the day, that was a trendy name for your parents.
I like Connor. One of my best buddies has a kid named Connor.
And I'm guessing you're, just from your voice, what are you, in your 20s?
Yep, almost 25 in October.
Yeah, so you'd say what, 1980, the kid was born, Connor? That was a progressive name?
Yeah, neat name. Connor's a nice name.
Anyway, Connor.
It was. Yeah, it's a kind of a curse right now, because every person I run across with the name Connor is about 3 or 4. But anyway, yeah, my wife's currently pregnant, and we actually thought about the name Trinity, and it's not for the Matrix reasons.
What are the reasons for Trinity?
Well, I'm probably one of your few conservative Christian listeners, and Trinity has a very...
You mean the Holy Trinity. All right.
The name's
been around for a long time.
And I'm sure we've got 3 or 4 of your type listening to the show. There's a lot of you out there.
Yes, welcome.
I will admit, though, that we've kind of shied away from it for the simple fact that, it does sound like a stripper name.
No, it's the Matrix
name. The Matrix.
Yeah.
It's the girl from the Matrix. It's Keanu Reeves' girlfriend. Trinity.
Oh, yeah.
Go for something else. So what other names have you considered, Connor?
Well, we're looking right now at either just Martha Marie or Davis Michael.
What was the first one?
Marissa.
Martha. Martha. I haven't heard that one.
Martha.
Like Martha Marie.
Bertha. What about just Sally?
A little plain. I don't know. My wife has the girl names. I picked the boy names, so.
Okay. Mm. Oh, and Connor.
Well, think about Maximus.
Connor, one last thing.
Maximus.
Yes.
Pray for us.
Yeah, certainly will. Martha. And one other question for Don, if it's all right with you guys.
Sure. Go ahead, Sparkle.
I was simply wondering, you have no problem with food going into your mouth, but when food comes out...
Listen, we don't talk about that anymore on the show.
Oh, my God. You fancy yourself a Christian? What are you talking about that for? You're going straight to hell.
We don't talk about that anymore, but I'll tell you, even with the new FCC rules, that the power of my digestive acids in my stomach will break down those bugs so that my internal organs end up working like the Play-Doh Fun Factory.
No. So I disagree completely. I think later on your butt's going to be in syndication and you're going to be running that show Wings.
Yes, sir. There you go. Hello, Jay, Don, and Mike. Hi, Jay.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Okay.
I bet you the name that's going to be most popular this year is probably going to be Cicada.
Cicada. Oh, come on, get out of here. Would you please?
Yeah, you don't need
Hey, Don. What? Don, and don't eat cicadas alone.
Don't eat cicadas alone.
That means you're a problem cicada eater.
You pulled yourself out. I don't know why you guys have a problem with me eating them alone.
Hi, Don.
Did I see you sneak?
Hi, Mike.
Did I see you sneak one during the break?
I'm a cicada-holic.
You did. Hello. Don and Mike. Brian.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Hey, I've always talk to my wife about when we have another daughter. I got a couple names for her, but she never really seems to like them. I've always been real fond of the name Noxzema or Liquidity, but she doesn't think that they make very good names.
Noxzema's a good one.
Noxzema rocks.
Yeah, she doesn't really like them too much.
Liquidity.
Hey, Robbie, we really should do a search to find out, put in products. I think one.
Oh, no, Velveeta. We've had Velveeta before.
I know we did it one
time. There's a kid named Saliva also. Uh-huh. And sea spray.
There was every product. There was like Benadryl. Some kid was named Benadryl.
Yeah, there was a news story years ago where they had on record, on birth certificates, legal names of people that were phenomenal.
Oh, and incidentally, about Maximus for the year 2003,
right.
Because so many boys were named Maximus, it moved past Rodney.
Well, that's probably Rodney. For the best. I went to school with a couple of Rodneys.
I know, but
I always thought that was the name that said... Yeah.
But Rodney's an old school, and Rodney Dangerfield.
But Rod, you know, Rod is, you know, right. Rod Steiger, you know, Rod Stewart.
Hot Rod the Mod Bod.
Yeah, Rod's good, but Rodney.
Hello, Rodney. Don and Mike. Rodney. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, how you guys doing?
What?
How you guys doing?
Did you get a cicada caught in your mouth when you said that?
What can we do for you, Morpheus?
Yeah, man. I had a question about your guys' cicada experience.
Sorry, disqualification.
Sorry, you're not in the book, but you said your guys's, so you are out of there. Listen, enough of this. Although that was great. Yeah. I love the fact. I'd like to find the parents that name their kids Maximus, Neo, Morpheus, Trinity.
Trinity's out there. I'm sure we got some people listening to name their kid Trinity.
But not Jesus freaks. I'd like to talk to someone who named it after the Matrix.
Yeah, right. Anyway, maybe it is the Matrix show, but maybe it also is that religious thing because that name is so popular.
Mm-hmm. Well, but
it can't solely be based on how many people went to see the Matrix.
That was around before.
Hold on. In 2000, a year after the Matrix was released, 4,553 girls were named Trinity. In the years 1996, 1997, 1998, 1999, there were 17 girls named Trinity.
Yeah, you got a point there, okay.
In 2003, in the 3 years since the first one, another 5,000 girls plus were named Trinity.
Really?
Yeah, so it's the movie. It's not God, it's the movie.
Well, I've seen that year that everybody was named Ferris.
Ferris? Anyone?
Anyone.
Anyone?
Ferris.
And don't forget all the kids that were just named Rooney.
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 Rooney, listen. We tried something yesterday on the show that seemed to work real well.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have enough time to really spotlight it. We're going to give everybody a chance today.
Yeah.
It's calling people with a bullhorn.
Hope we get a Trinity. Trinity's a good name for Siamese triplets.
And if you... what you want to do is call us at 877-365-3636. And if there's anybody that you would like to get a message to, and they just
doesn't listen.
They're just so thick-headed they don't listen.
Yeah.
We do it with a bullhorn. And I use this, for instance, with my wife yesterday, and it would be excellent today if I called her today.
Mm-hmm.
It would be not about the car.
Today I call her and say, Frida, I did not cry during American Idol. I did not cry during American Idol.
Bingo.
That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give everybody a chance to call somebody who you want us to call.
Very good.
And let us yell at them with a bullhorn with whatever it is that the thick-headed person just won't listen to.
That's it.
So work. Listen, we're not even giving away prizes. It's just fun to yell into the bullhorn.
Satisfying.
And the best part about the bullhorn is...
When you're done with this part, you do this.
Yeah,
that's the best thing about the bullhorn.
The police are coming.
Hey, we're crazy. We're eating cicadas today. We all need a timeout right now. I'm going to say that, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Self-conscious, but I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to talk, because I can do something besides sing, you know. I don't always have to sing a song. There is something besides the man that got away, or the rainbow, or the trolley song. There's a woman. There are three children. There's me. There's a lot of life going here. I wanted to believe. And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So what?
The next Mrs. Spiewak.
The Don and Mike Show. The number one radio show in Toronto, the Don and Mike program.
Make that the best of Don and Mike program, and a little look into my history. The first time I played this record, I got yelled at. The great Leo Sayer on the best of Don and Mike. Hey, it's your old buddy Rob Spiewak. Great stuff today. This next segment, I personally guarantee, will make you laugh. This is funnier than an unlisted banana. It is. Do you remember that movie that Michael Moore had, the Fahrenheit 9/11? That was funny, but this is funny. This is calling the Fahrenheit 9/11 hotline. Oh, yeah, it's the best of Don and Mike.
It is the Fahrenheit 9/11 hotline.
It's a good idea.
Where you find out what's happening with the progress of the movie, how much the movie is making, where the movie is currently showing, mm-hmm. and it's something that I think, you know, we lean Democratic on this show. It's something I believe that we can all enjoy.
Fahrenheit 911 hotline, can I help you?
Oh, I thought it was a recorded thing. Is this the,
hotline where I can answer any questions you might have about the movie.
Great. First, let me say I hate George Bush. I think he's a dope, and I can't wait to see Fahrenheit 9/11. Is it playing in my area?
I'm afraid it isn't.
Well, no.
I'm afraid you won't be able to find this movie. The movie prematurely was released to DVD, and it won't be available until... I mean, look, I've got my papers here. Hold on a second. This movie will be available for you after the election time.
No, wait.
You can't see it right now. It's been canceled.
You said that the movie is not showing in my area. You didn't ask what area I live in.
Well, I apologize. What area are you from, sir?
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.? Nope, it's not showing in your area. I'm afraid you will not be able to see this movie. Also, we have just received this bulletin here. And thank you for calling the Fahrenheit 911 hotline. Yes. The movie, unfortunately, is going to be pulled off the shelves because it is a pack of lies. Huh. Lies and innuendo. And unfortunately, this movie is not telling the truth. This movie is based on a very bitter man who is trying to subvert the United States and basically is a traitor.
Huh. You know, something tells me that this is not like...
And in any theater this movie is playing in, the projector bulb has got all broken.
This reminds me of that episode of Seinfeld when they called the movie phone and it was Kramer.
Uh-huh.
Something tells me that I know I'm talking to a live person right now, not a recording.
I'm the operator at the Fahrenheit 911 hotline with a message for the day. Would you like to hear it?
Sure I would.
Always distrust obese people.
May I
ask? They will lie to you, and they are also very, very dishonest movie makers.
May I ask your name, sir?
My name, for the sake of argument, you can call me Johnny.
Johnny?
I'm Johnny. I'm the operator manning the telephones at the Fahrenheit 911 hotline.
Why would they have a Fahrenheit 911 hotline and you're telling people not to go see the movie?
Well, we are trying to serve the public by giving you the very latest information. Unfortunately, it has been proven that if you watch this movie, Fahrenheit 911, and you sit in the theater and watch it, you will catch a bad disease.
You know, I'm going to hang up on this because I want to tell you, I'm going to call another line. That sounded to me like President Bush.
Yeah, a little, yeah.
Now, I also have a line for
I don't think it was.
I also have a line for the Spider-Man hotline.
All right.
And let's, now if it's President Bush on that one, then color me shocked.
Yeah, that would be strange. I can't imagine that happening.
But, you know, you wouldn't have a Fahrenheit 911 hotline, and the first thing the guy says is it's not showing in your area.
Doesn't make sense.
All right, so now the Spider-Man hotline is ringing.
Yes.
Spider-Man 2 hotline.
Thank you for calling the Spider-Man Hotline, the greatest movie in the history of the world. A movie I encourage everyone to go see. It's playing everywhere, at all times, every hour. Go see it. But do not go see Fahrenheit 9/11. It will give you cancer.
Wow.
I guarantee it.
Is this Johnny?
This is Johnny. I'm the operator for both the Spider-Man and the Fahrenheit 911 hotline. I believe that if you go see Spider-Man, you will actually lose weight and grow stronger. Go see Tobin Maguire in Spider-Guy.
All right, now, I'm going to put this to the test. I am going to hang up on that, and I am going to call the hotline for Dodgeball.
Dodgeball.
All right, Dodgeball's been out a while, right?
That's got to be a separate deal entirely.
Because otherwise, it just sounds like Bush is answering the phone and just telling people not to go to Fahrenheit 9/11.
I don't understand how he could be working all the different movies.
That's crazy. No, he's got time. Hold on. I misdialed.
It'd be very interesting if he was working all of them.
It did
sound like him the last time. I think that might be him.
Sounded like him the first time, too, but he said his name was Johnny.
Yeah.
Mr. Johnny. All right, this would be the Dodgeball hotline.
Very good.
The, what's his name? Ben Stiller movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, I'm your spokesperson, Johnny, for the Dodgeball hotline. How are you? Who am I speaking with?
This is Don.
Hey, Don, here's the message of the day.
Okay.
Dodgeball, the funniest movie in America, will make you sexy. Go see Dodgeball and leave the theater a sexier man than you were when you walked in.
Where is it playing?
It's playing everywhere on the hour. Make sure that you go see that movie and tell your friends, whatever they do, it is a health hazard to go see the movie Fahrenheit 9/11. It is a pack of lies, and it will give you toe fungus.
Hey, you know what? I know the way to find out if it's really him or not. Bye, Johnny.
Bye. My name is Johnny at the Dodgeball Hotline.
Bye, Johnny.
I'm going to call the Michael Moore Hotline.
Ah.
A hotline where you can find out where Michael Moore is doing appearances, where
good.
He's doing... Michael Moore is going to be on the show in the next couple of weeks again.
Excellent.
So now we'll see this time.
This can't be a scam. No, I don't think so. This has got to be legit. This number.
Be totally maybe legit. It won't be Michael Moore himself, but maybe it'll be someone
right.
saying Michael will be appearing in such and such an area.
A spokesperson.
All right, so it, first it was Fahrenheit 9/11, then it was Spider-Man, then it was Dodgeball. Now this is just the Michael Moore information line.
Very good.
Thank you for calling the Michael Moore hotline.
Hey.
Michael Moore is a known homosexual.
Oh, God.
And his movies are lies, packs of lies, and he smells offensive.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, I'm Johnny. This is the gentleman I spoke to when we were talking earlier over on the Dodgeball hotline.
That's me, Don.
How are you? How are you, son?
Hey, Johnny?
Yes, I can answer any questions that you may have about filmmaker, allegedly, Michael Moore. What questions do you have about Michael Moore? My name is Johnny at the Michael Moore hotline.
Do you find him to be a handsome man?
Absolutely, if you like fat pigs. I am so sorry, I seem to have misspoke. I mean portly gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
His given name is Michael Moore Trouble, and he is a communist.
Now your name is what? Your name is Johnny?
My name is Johnny.
What is your last name, Johnny?
Johnny Smith.
Johnny Smith.
Yes. Press 2 to hear Michael Moore's comments on filmmaking.
Oh.
Oink, oink, oink.
Okay, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm hanging up
because
I know what's happening there. Now watch this. I'm going to call the direct line to the White House. What, Rob?
Do you have that number?
Do I?
I got it
committed to memory.
He's got every number.
Here we go.
He's got them all in his Rolodex.
Watch, and I'm doing this without the computer. Now, this is going to ring through the Bush's desk.
That's great.
White House. Hello?
Hi, Charlie. President Bush, please.
Oh, hold on a second.
How you doing, Charlie?
I'm fine, Don. Thanks for getting me the job.
You're welcome.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
President Bush.
Blame so much.
Okay. Don's on the phone.
And don't even put it on hold.
No.
Hello? Yeah, who's this?
Hey, it's Don. What's happening?
How you doing, Don?
Hey, George.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Hey, George?
Yeah.
Are you trying to disguise your voice?
Yeah, I was. You calling about them hotline? Man, oh, man. I tell you, I can't come up with all those things. I got to do all those movie lines, and I'm just trying to get people not to go see that cotton-picking movie. That movie makes me look so dumb.
I tell you, I hate that movie so bad. I really do. I truly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And Charlie, what do you get him a job here for? He ate all my gum. He eats all my gum every day.
Now,
I can't keep gum in my desk. He goes and he takes it.
You got to come up with a better fake name than Johnny Smith, though.
I thought it was perfect. It was nondescript, and there are many John Smiths in this nation of ours.
Right, it was
what
perfect.
A great nation it
hey,
is.
Hey, President Bush, we had a groaner on today. You tell me if you think this is funny.
All right. Hey, Charlie, you put that gum down.
What's the name of the Michael Moore film about Condoleezza Rice?
What is it?
Glarenheit 9/11.
Funny, it's fun.
Right.
I love them groaners. I really do. That's funny. Oh, man. I do enjoy it. I do it. But tell that big boy with the big head not to eat my gum.
Oh, Charlie?
Honest to God, I tell you, I had 16 full packs of Big Red. And he snarled them all up. I tell you, it makes me mad.
Don't you have more important things to do than be answering the Spider-Man, Fahrenheit 9/11, Dodgeball hotline?
I do indeed. I am in the process right now of staring out into the Rose Garden and gauging the cumulus clouds.
If I was to call the Garfield movie hotline, would you answer that one too?
I could arrange that for you. I have the powers. I have the powers to answer any phone in the United States. You didn't realize that.
I'm going
to
call the Garfield line right now.
Hey, this whole Oval Office smells like fruit stripe gum.
All right, now we're going to call, final one, Garfield the movie. Now, this certainly could not be President Bush.
I can't believe he'd spend his time this way.
Garfield. How do you do it? G-A-R-F-I-E-L-D. E-L-D. Okay. Yeah. I hate it when they spell out numbers like that. It's not like 527.
Got to find the keys.
It's 1-800-Garfield. And it appears to be busy.
The movie's hotter than I thought it was.
I don't know how it appeared to be busy. Somebody must have let it off the hook.
Somebody must have. Okay.
I'm sure it'll work now. You calling the Garfield hotline?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Right, tell you, like, I-E-L-D. 1-800-GARFIELD. Here we go. Maybe it'll be Johnny Smith. God, I hope he's changed his name.
I don't know what.
No, just tell him to do it right now.
I don't want it.
No, hey, Garfield Hopper.
I don't want it. There's some government.
It's Charlie. I'm going to know it's Charlie. No.
Just do it. Pick up.
No, he's coaching.
Damn it, Charlie.
Garfield Hotline. John Smith.
Charlie?
Hey, tell him what that thing. Read it. I can't read it. Read the goddamn line.
Michael Moore can go lick it.
Hey, Charlie?
Yes, Tom?
Put John Smith on the phone.
You mean the guy?
President Bush.
All right. Yeah. President Bush, they know it's you. All right, Charlie. God damn it. Hear the phone, you retard.
Hello?
President Bush.
Man, what a tard. Hi, Don.
So what's happening with the Garfield movie?
It's going to be a hell of a lot better than that 9/11 thing. That communist propaganda. I mean, that's really, he's subverting us. Mm. If you continue to go see that movie 9/11, we're going to lose everything. You will lose your car and your home and your family. I pretty damn near guarantee that, son. I really do. How you been, Don?
I've been very well, sir. And you?
How's your vacation?
It was just fine. Thank you for asking. We had some problems with the computer. I understand that, what's his name? Kerry ended up getting running mate, right? The guy, John Edwards?
Yeah, he cannot be president. He is not qualified. Hold on a second. He cannot be president. He is not qualified.
Are you reading?
He is too young and inexperienced, and he has not had enough time in Washington to successfully fill the role of President of the United States. Hey, would you like to go mountain biking with me?
When's the last time you fell off a bike?
I didn't. I went out to the Secret Service training facility. I rode it for an hour and a half, not one spill.
Very good.
And how about that, son? Not one spill.
Not one right. spill.
Hey, try renting New York Minute tonight. It's as smart as it is funny. Those Olsen twins rock.
Do you know they would probably remind you of your daughters? One of them has got a coke problem.
Oh, man, I tell you, they're trouble. Jenna and Barbara.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Man, Tweedledee and Tweedledummer.
Pain in the ass.
Man, oh, man, it's a pain in the ass.
So of all the movies that are out right now, Fahrenheit 9/11, Spider-Man 2, Garfield, Dodgeball.
Well, quite frankly,
Shrek 2.
I must tell you, I'm not interested in any of the current cinematic experiences. I would like to see a movie made about an American sport that I treasure now. And it's my newest, latest thing. And
What's
I'm talking
that?
About mountain biking.
I would love to see somebody make a movie about mountain biking. It is a liberating and freeing experience. And you know something?
What?
I've got a great bike, too, with lots of all sorts of fancy gears. And I downshift it when I'm going downhill, and I can really travel, son. I'd like to see a movie about mountain biking. I'd probably enjoy that as much as that Nemo movie I like so bad.
When you're on your bike, do you put playing cards in the spokes?
Damn right I do.
Why you do that? Because it makes the sound?
It sound like I got a motorcycle. Man, I have a great time. But don't go see that Fat Cows movie, okay? I don't like that boy.
Fahrenheit 9/11?
That's right.
Hey, did you ever think about this, though. Take yourself out of the situation for a second.
I will take myself out as far as I can.
If you shaved Michael Moore's beard and put him in a wig,
yeah,
wouldn't he look like Mamo?
Oh, he likes that.
Well, you're going to get me in trouble, Don.
Isn't that true, though?
You know you're going to get me in trouble,
He would look like your Mamo.
Listen, I know you've got... Is your newsman handy?
Yeah, Buzzy's right here.
I'm here, Buzz. Mr. President.
Howdy, Buzz. How have you been?
I'm well, sir.
We're having a good time at the White House leading this country into the land of prosperity.
Uh-huh.
I have a bulletin for you. This is a secret scoop. You can reveal this to your listeners at your earliest convenience.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Bulletin.
President. Yes.
This just in. I have been briefed by the CIA,
right,
and they have informed me that Michael Moore,
uh-huh,
is a terrorist. That's
right.
Right. His whole fat body is one big bomb.
I'll check on it. I find it hard to believe, but I will check on him.
It's a stink bomb.
That's right. They should tackle him, cut him open, just like they did in that movie Jaws,
mm-hmm,
and they would find explosives.
License plate. All right. Thank you, George.
Johnny Smith saying so long.
Bye, Johnny.
Bye-bye.
Well, there's the Fahrenheit 9/11, Spider-Man 2,
mm-hmm,
Garfield, Dodgeball Hotline.
Yeah, and he's plugging New York Minute, too.
Wow.
Likes that one, too.
Surprise. More coming right
there. This is the Don and Mike Show.
To you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pa. Happy birthday to you.
Boys, I just don't know what to say. I'm overwhelmed. This is what all the secrecy was about.
We've been planning it for weeks, Pa.
Took a little bit of doing, too, Pa.
Well, I appreciate it. But why this particular day?
Because it's your birthday.
Oh, Adam, we all know my birth records were lost. I've never known my birth date.
Well, we do now. Took a lot of letter writing, but we finally traced the daughter of your old family minister, who had recorded it also.
That's wonderful. Real thoughtful of you, fellas. I've always missed having a regular birthday. How old am I?
Oh, you'd be surprised, Pa.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Fellas, how about a song in honor of Pa?
Now, wait a minute. Now, there's something I'd like to say. Well, maybe I can say it best in this song.
In between.
It is 7-11 with Big Don on Thursday night. 82 degrees right now. Cloudy overnight, low 62. Tomorrow, cloudy and hot, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Wear something flimsy, girl. It is quarter past 7. I am the entertaining Big Don Geronimo. Momentum music lines wide open now. All numbers are total free. 7-2-9-231-336-1345-733-1280. And WABC-WAM. Rhythm hearing is anything from Swats. This Big Don on Thursday night up for grabs this hour in Summer Store. A Blue 128 Frisbee. Hang on for the touchdown and your chance to win.
Play in the hit.
That's right.
Don Geronimo.
Yes, I am. We're sending the very sincere and professional congratulations out tonight to Kim Hall of Appleton. Kim just got herself a Blue 128 Frisbee in Summer Store. She now qualifies for the Super Stash. One of the prizes is a 23-channel Lafayette CB Radio Rubber Ducky.
comes up in moments. Hang on for the touchstone tonight. Blue 128. From Desolation Boulevard, there is Streets. And the Fox is on the run. 728 with Big Don Rock and Roll Geronimo and the Beatles at WNAL.
You say yes, you say so bad.
Get ready to snap up the savings at the big...
The Don and Mike Show.
This sounds even better when you hit the right buttons, Josh.
Listen, or they'll poke you in the eye. Don and Mike.
I don't know if I have anything on my mind or not. All righty, let's see if we can talk. Talking is good. It is the best of Don and Mike all across the Westwood One Network. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak, and you know... A lot of people say, Rob, what do you really like in real life? Yeah, a lot of people ask me that. And the answer is, you know who I really admire? This guy right here. It's a great interview that Don and Mike did about maybe about a year back, but I think this guy is a genius. He's charming, and he's done a lot of great stuff. Listen and learn a little bit about entertainment history. The great Chuck Barris on the best of Don and Mike.
On the hotline right now, here is our main man, Chuck Barris, the mother chucker.
Hi,
hey,
Chuck. How you doing?
Hey,
now.
This is, I'm really on?
Yes.
Hot dog.
Now, it's been, I don't know, 2 years since we had you on. A
couple of years, yeah.
So much has happened. The book came out, the movie came out, the movie's on DVD, and now you have written a follow-up book to the original book, right?
Where you tell everybody about your involvement in the CIA.
Right. This is Bad Grass Never Dies. The sequel to Confessions.
Right, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Incidentally, right. great book, an even greater movie, and my son got it for me for Father's Day on DVD.
That's wonderful.
And we watched it again, and the thing about the movie, just like the book, at the very end, you got to wonder, is Chuck Barris nuts, or did he really do this?
Yeah. Have you fessed up to whether you are nuts, Chuck?
No, I still haven't fessed up to it because it's really a no-win situation, you know. If I say, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm CIA, then they come and they get me.
Yeah.
If I say, no, I that's my imagination, then the book, you know, the two books lose their mystique and all that kind of thing. So it's really awful, but I just keep hoping that people will read it and enjoy the book for what it is.
Oh, I'll read it. Now, here's a question, Chuck. Does the book address, the new book addresses what's happened to you since the other book became a movie?
Yeah, that's what happened. Like, the new book picks up about two years or a year before the Confessions of a Dangerous Mind ended and goes right up until yesterday. You know, it goes up right up until about a year ago.
Now, when
do you find after that book and movie came out that you are... perhaps approached by strange individuals a little more than you were before?
I've always been approached by strange individuals. particularly when I did the Gong Show, you know, I'd be sitting on an airplane and a perfectly normal-looking gentleman would come walking up the aisle and get down on a knee and start doing a lizard, you know, so stuff like that would drive me crazy. But that seems never to have stopped.
Now, the new book, I know it's just a book now, like the other one was just a book, and even though the movie was critically acclaimed, and a lot of people like me are nuts about it, is there any, it didn't, you know, do Spider-Man numbers, is there any chance that you or George Clooney or any of those guys would make the new book into another movie?
Well, there is that chance. You know, the Confession of a Dangerous Mind was launched at a really bad time. It was Christmas, and all these blockbusters were out there, and we got kind of lost in the shuffle, and I don't think we ever recovered, but it was a good movie, and it was you know, critically acclaimed and all that type of thing. Now, all the people that did that movie, Charlie Kaufman, who wrote it, George Clooney directed it, Andrew Lazar produced it, they all have read Bad Grass Never Dies, and I think they like it, but I haven't heard them say we'd like to do, you know, the sequel, too. But we'll see.
What about, you know, what about Sam, the guy that played you?
Sammy is great. You know, George Clooney insisted that that Sam Rockwell play me, or else he didn't want any part of the movie, and they didn't want to lose George, so they took Sam. And Sam was, I thought it was great.
Bad Grass Never Dies.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the title. Can you give us any insight into that?
Yeah, that's a weird thing. I had lung cancer, which came as a surprise. I went in for something else, and they found it.
Now, is this a maybe made-up thing like the CIA, or is this something that really happened?
Now, Lisa, you know, you got to believe me.
I love that answer.
You got to have faith. But anyway, I went in the hospital, and I was sitting there, they had just operated, and I didn't know what the heck was going on, and I was really scared. And this young intern was standing right next to the bed, and I think he wanted to tell me something to make me feel better, and he said, "Don't worry, Chuck, bad grass never dies." And, you know, I thought, what the hell is he talking about?
Really?
You know, weeds, and then I guess bad grass just keeps growing no matter what.
Wow.
Okay.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Now, what about, here's something that was really brought forward in the movie, and I don't know if we asked you this last time. Forgive me if I asked you, but I want to ask you again. You were really, in a lot of ways, the father of reality television with the dating game and the answers that you would get from people. It was 30 years ago, ahead of its time. A lot of it had to be edited out. Do you have any interest to get into the reality TV game now to see what you could do now?
You know something, I really don't. That was a time. You know, I'm sort of like, I figure, and I may be full soup, but I think I'm just a product of the time. You know, I did shows like A Dating Game and Newlywed Game, and they all brought spontaneity into television, which never existed before that. And people, they were spontaneous. There were no right or wrong answers. That may have been really the start of reality programming. But I couldn't create the shows they have on there today if they put a gun to my head. I mean, eating bugs and staying on islands and stuff like that, I just can't comprehend them. You know, I lost it after the 70s. You know, I did Palisades Park, and I couldn't write a song for whoever else is out there singing now. So, you know, I'm just blocked out. That's where I was, and that's fine.
You know, I'm curious what you think of American Idol. What are your thoughts on that? I mean,
when I was doing the shows, that they kept telling me that I was a mean-spirited and making fun of my contestants and all that, which I never understood. I really didn't think I was doing that. Maybe I was, but I never thought I was.
It was not.
I look at these shows today. They really seem mean-spirited.
It wasn't. Here's the feeling I got on the Gong Show, on the $1.98 Beauty Show. It wasn't those people knew that they sucked. They knew that they knew that, you know, J.P. Morgan was going to hit the gong. You're going to come out and go, oh, my God, this is awful. You didn't give them the premise that if you come on the Gong Show, you're going to get a recording contract and be the next Clay Aiken.
No, not at all. In fact, it was just the opposite. As you said, you know, people knew what they did, and they came off for that moment, and it was fun. You know, some guy, occasionally they were a little warped about it. I mean, there was a guy who was a demolition expert from Vietnam who came back, and his act was making faces and in a glass, pane of glass. And he got gonged, and he threatened to kill me. He said I, you know, ruined his career.
Oh, my God.
You can't make that up.
There's a career for you. Wow.
So now, in the new book, besides the allegations about if you did or did not work in the CIA, I'd be curious to know, what else do you write about that's happened? Do you write about people?
Oh, yeah. I took off from France. You know, I sold my company when it was at the height, just before the big boom. You know, I was really brilliant in doing that, and just to pursue a daydream, which was like go to the south of France and pretend and try to be, you know, Hemingway or Fitzgerald, write the great American novel.
Right.
So, you know, if I look back on it, I say that might have been a pretty stupid thing to do, but I had a good time. It was fun.
Yeah.
And that's what the book, it's got a lot of that stuff in it.
So it's really a lot about you and your search for whatever you were looking for, right?
That's about it.
Yeah. I love that idea. Yeah. A travel.
No, I didn't particularly succeed in all that, but you know, I've had plenty of ups and downs, but the thing I've been going for most of the time is fun. And not fun in a stupid way, but, you know, fun in maybe a Walter Mitty sort of way.
Right.
And you know, and sometimes it leads me astray and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I think I'm talking to my hero right now, I swear to God.
Absolutely.
That is, you got to do it. What you're saying is kind of like, get out there and follow your instincts a little bit.
When I once thought of a show, an idea while I was, you know, after I'd left, and I was thinking I'd come back and try to sell it, but I just never had the desire to go back again. It could never be as much fun as when I was there, you know, originally.
Yeah.
So I never did.
You got to take some pride, though, and besides the fact that the book is great and the movie was great and critically acclaimed, like we said, blah, blah, but Sam really took the role of you and played you to an absolute T. He's now looked at as one of those guys, not an A-list actor, but very close to being an A-list actor, based on his portrayal of you. That's cool, right?
Oh, that's extremely cool. You know, he worked hard at that. He didn't just phone that in. He followed me around for months. He took digital camera feed. He followed me with a camera. He recorded my voice. He watched my mannerisms. He looked at all the old shows. And he worked hard at that, and it showed. I thought he was great. He did win the Best Actor Award at the Berlin Film Festival, which is a very prestigious thing to do, but he didn't get any Golden Globes, he didn't get any Oscars, and not even any nominations. And I always thought that was wrong, but then again, I probably was prejudiced about that.
And I don't know if we asked you before, you've probably been asked a million times, do you ever keep in touch with the unknown comic?
I do see the unknown comic occasionally. He always really made me laugh because, you know, his whole act was that he just didn't want his other friends to know that he was doing the Gong Show. It was so demeaning. So he put a bag on his head, you know, and he was hysterical. The only problem was he's not funny with the bag off of his head. But I do see him. And they're all good guys. I mean, that was a wonderful time. It was great.
I know you're on your way to dinner. What will you be enjoying tonight?
It's a little family. It's a restaurant close by. My wife and I go there constantly. It's a little Italian restaurant, and it's really nice. So that's where I'm heading now.
Little risotto, maybe?
Yeah, a little risotto. That would be good.
That's my recommendation tonight, Chuck.
I'll definitely do it.
Listen now, is your new book out now? Is it available now?
Yep, it's all over the place, and you can get it. And I loved it. I couldn't put it down, but I hope you feel the same way.
Of course, you're right. Here's the deal. I'll get the book on Amazon this weekend and read it, and then if you wouldn't mind, we'd like to book you again in a couple of weeks and rap with you about the book.
Oh, I would love that. So you do that. I'm here. I'm ready for you. And it's always a pleasure to be on.
Always a pleasure for us too, Chuck.
The great Chuck Barris. Okay, well, listen, I'll read the book. Reading's hard for me. Someone will read it to me.
That's right.
And then we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks, okay?
You got it.
Have a great dinner. Thank you, Chuck.
Bye-bye.
Chuck Barris.
That's the mother chucker. Chuck Barris.
You know, I didn't want to ask, and I think I'm going to read the book too, because I think when you consider what he did with the whole CIA, I have always thought that that was born out of maybe like trying to pick up chicks.
Well, you know,
I did not see the movie, so what? I mean, you saw the movie. That, you know, you go in and go, yeah, I'm with the CIA, but don't tell anybody, baby.
All right, the great Chuck Barris. Rob, would you please read that book and write me a report about it over the weekend?
I'll tell you right now, it's a great book.
Great book. It is a great book.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bring me four fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
Four fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
You all want anything to drink with that?
No, ma'am.
A Coke.
Be up in a minute.
The Don and Mike Show.
Get nude, squat, and cough. For Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
No one ever plays this song on the radio. It's the best of Don and Mike with your old buddy Rob Spiewak. How you doing? Pleased to be here playing you the best of. Of course, I'm pleased to be anywhere but my house. You know my son, Rob the Third? You know, his sister's smart, but he's strong. He shoved something else down the toilet, and we had an overflow last night. So once again, pleased to be anywhere but my house. Moving on with the best of Don and Mike. Oh, you're going to like this one because Cameron said it was funny. It's a stack of bad DJ tapes. You're going to like this. It's really, really good. That's why we call it the best. The best of Don and Mike. I don't throw around superlatives needlessly. It's the best of Don and Mike all across the Fruited Plain on the Westwood One radio network.
I've got a stack. Just a stack of disc jockey tapes.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the things that we've talked about getting to on the show. It's for whatever reason, we just never do.
Right.
We went through the whole drama with the program director about if he put an ad out or not. Oh, excuse me. Breaking news from Buzz. Celebrity death time.
Yes.
And just when America thinks we have been pushed to the brink. I don't know who it is either.
The mourning is not over. Singer Ray Charles has died in Los Angeles at the age of 73.
Really?
We didn't see that guy.
That one was Amy. Hey, hold on. Did you just do a blind joke?
Well, Mike just made the expression, yeah. Well, yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. We didn't see
Ray Charles is gone.
Yeah, the age of 73.
Regretfully has passed.
Yes, he has.
And wasn't someone talking? Why did we hear about Ray Charles? Someone was talking. Oh, the guys that we had yesterday,
the guys from the awful
Southern
troop.
Discomfort.
Southern Discomfort had appeared with Ray Charles. Maybe that's what killed him.
Maybe
Ray Charles heard their appearance on our show yesterday.
That may have happened.
It killed him. Yeah.
But I hope they're available to eulogize.
I hope if that
in song.
I hope if that was the case, if Ray Charles was listening to our show on his Walkman yesterday and heard that, I hope for at least one brief moment he was given sight just for a second.
You know what? I think Ray Charles probably agreed with us.
Yeah.
What did they start
with our editorial slam?
Southern Comfort.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Discomfort, Buzz.
Discomfort. That's
yes.
Right.
Discomfort.
With any luck, they'll open for him again.
You know what? Probably killed him. Ray Charles is probably there wanting to call in, say, get those guys off the air. But what's he going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, every time he hits it, it's like Mr. Zipalix.
Right.
Every single phone number he dials, it's like, okay, let me see. I know
see
the number.
Keypad.
It's 877, but it's like.
And he gets that.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Every single time.
I liked Ray Charles.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
Georgia.
What was his favorite color?
Corduroy. Yes, that's the an oldie but goodie.
I had to. So, disc jockey, thank you for the bulletin, Buzz.
You're welcome.
And all you news hounds out there, that's another $1.06 that goes back in Buzz's news piggy bank.
Thank
there you. Go.
Because you can't be scooped on that one.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. No. Are we going to have a simultaneous thing now with him and Reagan?
No.
Two for the price of one?
I'm afraid not.
Even though he's a great singer?
They might want to move the arrangements to next week for Ray Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Think so?
This weekend, so.
Think it was a bad time to die.
I don't think anybody really knew that Ray Charles was. He wasn't ill for any length of time, right?
Not that we heard. I'll look into it, but we haven't heard anything.
I bet Billy Joel crashes a car this weekend. Billy Joel loves Ray Charles.
He does. Absolutely.
Billy Joel will probably go drinking and driving this weekend.
We'll have to wait and see the stories on Monday.
Didn't he name his? He named his daughter, I think, Rachel,
because of Ray Charles.
Because of Ray Charles. I think so.
That's the truth.
Man, oh man, and nobody sung America the Beautiful better than Ray Charles.
That's true. He was great. He really was.
Am I the only one that's worried about Billy Joel now? I saw Billy Joel on an award show recently.
Mm. You worried about his state of mind?
That's
not alone.
Well,
not only with this, but with the Reagan news. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's two.
I'm not sure whether Billy Joel was a huge Reagan supporter.
I have no idea if he was or not.
Right. Well, I'm just guessing.
You know, although back in the day, Reagan had a lot of those guys out at the White House for like a photo op. You know, guys that he didn't know who they were or what they sang about.
No, but I mean, I think with different administrations, you have different entertainers, and I don't remember Reagan being particularly Billy Joel heavy.
But didn't Billy Joel go to Russia right after that whole tear this wall down
that's
thing?
Right, yeah.
He did, yes. That's a good memory on
so
that.
So maybe it was a Gorbachev thing. Who knows? All I'm saying is, if you live up in the Hamptons, watch out this weekend.
Yeah.
Put out your sandbags.
Billy Joel's going to be on the road.
If you buckle up, click it or ticket.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
I just want to point out, you finally got your death trifecta. You got Tony Randall, you got Ronald Reagan, and now Ray Charles.
Oh, no.
Let's
see him, Gary. It's a mess. No. Tony Randall is way too far in front.
Yeah, you mean it has to be closer.
Yeah, there would have to be another one falling in the next 24 to 48 hours.
That's
probably
how it works.
Yeah, I think so.
You don't want to include
James Garner, then.
James Garner.
James
you can always include him in your trifecta.
Sure, you could.
It's just not true.
One other thing.
Yeah.
I were talking about Deadwood the other day.
Yeah, Deb with the show.
That's the CP comic who used to be on The Facts of Life.
Wait, hold on. Take a breath. What are you saying?
On Deadwood. You were talking about the show Deadwood on HBO?
Yes. Right.
And the girl with the affliction?
Yeah.
She's the CP comic. That girl used to be on The Facts of Life.
What's her name, Rob?
Jerry Jewell.
That's her.
Is that her?
Oh. She was Blair's cousin.
That's the moment on the show where I said, this show cannot get any more creepy when she walks up to two of the characters and says, I'm knocked up. And then that's her only line, and then she walks away.
Wow. Hey, well, you know what? You get a chime, my friend, for that tip in that she's the CP girl from Facts of Life.
Not to be confused with Mike the CP comic, with an impression done by Rob Spiewak.
Hi, Mike. I knocked up. Hi, Tootie. I'm with child.
Tootie. What?
I said, you got any Sopranos prize packs left? My wife would kill to get one of those ropes.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That went well.
That was energy.
Bye-bye.
Manic, uncontrollable energy.
Mark, Don, and Mike. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Good. Nice to talk to you. I've been trying to get through for months.
Right.
I just wanted to talk to you about the Jack Diamond and Jim Steed band and how bad they suck. They play all the time in my hometown.
Okay.
What's your hometown, sir?
My hometown is Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Maryland. Okay, we know Jack Diamond.
DJ band.
Stinks. Yeah. Hey, are you ready to jump back on the bandwagon now that you've abandoned your DJ band for your DJ restaurant?
Yeah, absolutely, until I get a DJ band again.
All right,
and then I'll change right away. No, you know, then I'll be like, hey, come on.
Get out of here. Hello, Chris, Don and Mike Show.
Ah, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Ah-ha-ha! Hi, Chris.
Hey, I was worried about Billy Joel, too. His daughter's name is Alexa Ray.
That's it. Thank you.
Oh, cool. All right.
That's
cool.
That's a chime for you, too. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
That was after Ray Charles. So watch out if you're driving where Billy Joel's driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how long ago it was, a month, 2 months ago, our idiot program director ran an ad in a trade magazine. As it turns out, the ad that he... Yeah, well, we went through the whole soap opera.
Yeah, and we never got it resolved.
Ad that was an accident that didn't run, as it turns out...
We believe we was lied to, and we still believe we was lied to.
Anyway, for whatever reason, it was for an opening that ended up, thank goodness, you know, being filled by our buddies Ron and Fez. You know, almost like Jay Leno when he had that news conference. I'm announcing I still have the job.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So... they never hired anybody to take these guys' place to work at the station, which was good. And what else is good is that we have all these tapes from disc jockeys who responded to the ad for the job with the guys that kept the job.
Right.
The ad that the program director says ran on...
accident.
By accident. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do now is listen to some of these DJ tapes.
Actually, not by accident, Don. Ran because of what we said on our show.
Yeah, that's right, because we're so powerful. Because that's what we can do. We can make one offhanded comment about Ron and Fez, and immediately the entire radio industry focuses on the fact that we said that. Mike, I would believe that if Matt Rogers didn't only get 1,000 hits.
Well, it was a complicated...
on his petition thing.
A very complicated website.
Right. I mean, I was telling him he'd get 25,000, 50,000 hits on his website.
Well, it was www.cowboy. It would have.
Anyway,
and now that's going to get a lot of websites. Sure. And it's probably porno.
Porn.
Yeah.
Here's one of the tapes from one of the DJs that wanted a job. And what we're going to do from time to time is listen to these tapes.
Okay.
They have phone numbers. Call them and offer them some constructive criticism.
Very good.
Anyway, these guys are from San Diego.
Oh.
And I'm guessing it's not a secret that they're looking for a job since they sent a tape to a radio station.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Their names are Jeff and Mike.
All right.
I've not heard any of these tapes. The program director just comes down and gives me a box and says, anytime you guys want to listen to some tapes, here we go.
Yes, it is. Jeff and Mike, the Godzillas of the radio. Seeking to destroy and maim wherever we go. This is our home, KKSM, AM 1320. 6:06 is our time.
My kind of disease.
Wow. What's going on here?
I don't know.
Yep.
This is real bad.
And we're here live, as always, as we promised. We make this pledge to you here live.
Hey, all right, stop it for a second. All right, I have a question. Is this, I'm already thinking this is not even on the radio.
No,
this was maybe done in somebody's basement.
Hold on.
Do they have a resume? Where could this possibly have been done in a radio station?
Nope, they're real.
I think so. It's just probably a station no one listens to.
Do you have any evidence there that this is that these are real boys?
I do. From KFEJ AM San Diego. So this is a real. Mm-hmm. We have a phone number on.
I'm shocked. Well, that I want to find that out first.
1320. I
never taped. Through rain or snow or hail or whatever is happening out there, we're here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the tax on best of lamps is good because right now we have the car tax, and that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, people need cars to go to work, but
that's right.
Best of lamps are like a luxury tax, you know? So
they are a luxury.
Tax the best.
Now, this is the tape that they send.
Yep. This is I'm shocked.
This is the tape that they think is going to get them a major market job at a big talk
station. Their best work.
And it's on CD, so it sounds good.
Geo Metro, maybe. And then their tags and titles and everything cost another $500. That's ridiculous.
Why would you send out a tape
mine in the mail
that has some big mouth listener just talking?
Well, the first thing I want to ask him is what this radio station is.
Yeah, Tom, Mary Carey says it's going to change, so I'm just going to wait till she wins.
All right, well, that's simply number one to look at tonight.
Wow.
We're going to listen to a couple and decide who
we want
to call.
That is Jeff and Mike?
Jeff and Mike, and as you can see on their CD, they have their picture and their phone number.
There they are.
Here's the next tape that we have. This is Ray Woods.
Tommy Ray Woods, three-name person?
You know, I'm not sure. For God's sakes, there's so many.
Yes, Joe.
Joe.
That KKSM is a community college radio station.
Oh, all right, okay. Fine. All right, well, that's different.
Thank you. I feel digital cable, Channel 95 in San Diego.
I feel much more relaxed now.
All right.
I'm very calm.
Then let's
I was uptight before.
Sure. Let's try Rob Girard.
Oh, that's excellent. I bet he's good.
Rob Girard.
Rob Girard. Let me see if I can find. Oh, here's his letter.
Oh, good.
His DJ name is Ray Woods. We have the letter to go along with
that. Right.
Dear Mr. Gray, please find my enclosed demo. I hope you'll consider me for the pending nighttime opportunity at WJFK. Again, see, that's the whole thing.
It was us.
Yeah, but
we talked about the opening, and that's how they sent the essay.
It's not a job now, but still, it's funny for these tapes.
Right.
Or, for that matter, any other opportunities that may exist within your station.
Are we sure about that?
I realize it's a bit long, but I wanted to give a reasonable sampling of what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is part of a larger bit about telephone answering machine message absurdities. The second is from my talk show. The last two are commercial reads where I do voices. I've got funny characters. Most importantly, I can improve your demographics. Women love my voice.
Okay.
Really. Thank you for your time and consideration. Hoping you will find this intriguing enough. I look forward to hearing from you. Wow. This is from Rob Girard, a.k.a. Ray Woods.
All right, let's listen.
Here's the second DJ wants a job tape that we have for you.
Hello. You have reached the suicide hotline. If you have a touch-tone phone, please press 1. Please listen closely as some of our menu options have changed.
You know, do you get the joke already that you're calling a suicide hotline, yet you're being put on hold?
Voicemail.
All right. Options.
If you are on the extreme ragged edge and are contemplating sucking the bullet out of a gun barrel, slashing your wrists or jugular, driving your car off a cliff, or dropping a live appliance into the bathtub with you, please press 1.
Now, the letter says the first part is part of a larger bit about telephone answering message absurdities.
Please press 2.
Explain it to your brain.
If you intend to...
It's very dark.
Yes,
very, very morbid.
You're just going to have to
very grisly.
And not funny.
Seems to be all about methods of committing suicide.
Yes. Here's some commercial reads.
Yes.
Or his talk show. I'm not sure which on the index this is.
I want to hear his crazy voices.
Let's hear the...
No, it won't index.
I don't know, Buzz. I'm somewhat threatened.
Hello. You have reached the suicide hotline.
We're going to fast forward this one a little bit.
Go right through
this bit and find out where he says the last two parts are commercial reads where he does voices and also part from his talk show.
Coupe de Ville that is locked in position at the giant auto crusher, please press 6. Otherwise, press 0 for the next available council.
Oh, hold on, let it go.
Thank you for calling.
Suicide hotline.
Back to the second hour of the Ray Woods show. I'm
here
that guy, Ray Woods.
As is our custom, we kick off this segment with our regular examination, mercifully brief, of certain current aspects of our language. The English language, that is. Now, those regular listeners, you know that this is not always a critical exercise. Today, however, I'm afraid it is. Two things that I have thought for some time were just rhetorical fads that would soon pass from the conversational scene and seem on the verge of becoming aggravating.
All right, let's see if we can get to his funny voices, and then we'll hear our third contestant today.
Very good.
Is there a third part on there? Because he did say that he does funny voices. And that part with the answering machine was killer.
Yeah.
We're going to steal that very soon.
Women love his voice.
Yeah, that's right. Remember that.
Women love his voice.
Women love his voice.
Of course. I can understand that.
A bunch of these funny, quirky sayings that are called malapropisms. The dictionary defines a malapropism as a usually humorous misapplication of a word or words. The use of a word sounding somewhat like the one intended.
Why is a guy like this even anywhere near a microphone?
Terms here are misapplication.
Because probably someone told him he's okay.
Context. Which brings us to one of the Yogester's great malapropisms, and I'm sure you've...
Does it sound like you're listening to a textbook on tape?
Well, it sounds like he made this in the basement.
Is that the term déjà vu?
Is there any radio station on there?
Hold on. It is French.
Yes. Oh, Mike, my God. Hold on. Yes,
I'm sorry. I have to find out if it's true.
State University of New York
at
New Paltz.
SUNY.
Okay.
SUNY New Paltz. Know it
now,
well.
Hold on. Now, here is a guy that comes not only with a resume, but with a letter of recommendation.
Okay. Aww. Try hitting it again. I moved far enough ahead. I want to hear a wacky voice.
Okay.
However, all you hear from cocktail conversation, from people on TV talk shows, and even from some broadcasters.
Here we go.
Hey, what was your little rule about
this is like
audition tapes?
Oh, it's a simple rule.
I mean, it's a link as far as link.
You get them in the first 20 seconds.
You know that.
But I mean, how long would your total audition tapes
when
take?
When I was a disc jockey?
5 minutes? Not even that.
Two and a half, three minutes.
When I played records?
Right.
2.5 minutes.
Right.
It would be spliced down, no junk, no nothing.
And your best stuff had better be in that first 20 seconds.
On WCSB, Washington's enlightening, informative, and entertaining talk radio.
W Connecticut School of Broadcast.
93.7 Crystal City, Virginia.
That's not a real radio.
Well, I don't hear any funny voices.
See, he's got 40 seconds.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to you about good things on a cracker. How about Swiss cheese on a Ritz cracker? Or a chunk of ham on a crisp Ritz cracker?
Who's that supposed to be, Mike?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Isn't that the Pepperidge Farm guy?
Yeah. You hungry? Now, this here is a six-pack of Mr. Big. This is a six-pack of Charmin. They're both soft, and they both look like they're the same size.
Who's he supposed to be now?
Not so fast.
You're looking at me like I'm, you know, we're not all in the same club.
You're not?
You're not?
Charmin. No. Which means a six-pack of Mr. Big has 900 more sheets. 900 sheets. It's like
maybe that's just a straight read.
Down
every
voice.
Six pack.
Well, women love his voice.
Yeah.
All right, here's the third contestant we have, and then we'll call one of these scary, talented disc jockeys to tell them how great we think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy, I will tell you, does have a resume.
Okay.
Wausau, Wisconsin.
Mm. We're on in Wausau, aren't we?
WMZK.
Are we still on in Wausau?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Evansville, Indiana, WYXY. And he's got a letter from his former program director.
Oh, good. Okay.
Wow. Two prospective employers of Tommy Mason.
Tommy!
Tommy Mason was morning show host. You know what? I'd change his name right away. Dude. Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
Tommy Gunn.
I like it.
And you hook him up with Machine Gun Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
I'm MG Kelly. And and then you got to have a guy named Shotgun as well.
Mm-hmm. Shotgun Tom.
Shotgun. Tommy Mason was a morning show host on Y107 for a year and a half, and in that time proved himself to be one of the most creative and driven radio pros I've ever had the pleasure to work with.
Hmm.
I had actually received material from Tommy at a time when I was not working, when I was not looking to fill a full-time slot, but I hung up onto his package. He's an asset to any station. This is from a program director named Cindy Miller, so she may be the person we call if the guy's not really fantastic. Here's our third update on Find a DJ, Tommy Mason, our third contestant.
So when you put a tape on and you started to exercise with me, what did you think? What was going through your mind then?
Well, Richard,
I thought I was nothing more than an out-of-shape, out-of-work disc jockey.
C104 Central Wisconsin's Pure Rock Station, 557.
I love eating muffins.
Here we go.
Oh, you're going to love this one, baby. New music that rocks. Limp Bizkit, Eat You Alive. C104. C104 at 718 now. You know, I was wondering what it's like to have sex when you're 90.
It's like trying to shove a marshmallow into a piggy bank.
Oh, God.
Yeah, your calls, 536-1041. Make time.
Yeah.
AC/DC shaking you. Z104.
Yeah.
Do you believe that you're a miracle?
Actually, Richard, my parents always told me I was a mistake.
Governments at all levels.
Oh, brother.
Working as hard as we possibly can to protect the American citizens.
For you prospective DJs out there, again, if you're sending out a tape for a job, like don't put on your dumb, wacky tapes. You understand?
Right.
Everybody's got dumb, wacky tapes.
So it's what you do.
Right. It's like you don't start your tape with, you know, where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Yeah, you start your tape with you.
Yeah,
right.
You've just wasted the first 30 seconds there.
It's crucial.
So what's this guy doing?
An oil. And don't forget about the oil, George. 7:54. We'll wrap up Make Me Laugh in minutes. Stay now. Z104.
Hey, Make Me Laugh.
Infection 2000.
And maybe he stole from us.
Maybe so.
Is it ever going to end? No, we have 8 more months of it. There is no vaccination for infection 2004.
Maybe we stole from
him. Official, though.
No, I got to tell you. Like I said, you steal from me, you're stealing twice. But make us laugh is something that is here.
Right.
That started here. Hold on, here's a theory on one of these guys. Craig.
Yo.
Hey,
I'm pretty sure that the second voice that idiot did was supposed to be Clinton. If you play it again, I think you'll hear it.
Oh, we don't have to do that, do we?
We don't want to hear it again.
Yeah, we're not going
to
do that, are we?
Thank you for listening to this.
Good idea.
Thank you.
I'm ejecting.
All right, so we've heard now from Jeff and Mike.
Right.
From Tommy Mason.
And Rob Gerard.
Oh, and hold on.
Oh, a bonus?
Here now is a bonus fourth contestant today.
Ah.
From the world of political talk.
Okay.
Dear Mr. Limewand, you have the perfect call letters for the next president, JFK. J.F. Kerry. I have enclosed my demo CD, a demo in the true sense of the word, as I was on a phone line in Atlanta doing a show in Phoenix, and you cannot beat being in a studio for a lively show that allows you to control the board. My request is, would you consider a left-right crossover-type show in this hotly contested election year? My segment on the Mike Rose Show gives a good glimpse of what I can bring to the air. I've been making right-wingers crazy since I was 12 in Atlanta. My weekly three-hour show is called Bash the Liberal. And this is from Don G. White.
BTL.
And he calls himself America's Liberal.
All right, America's Liberal.
Here's his demo tape.
Hey.
5 seconds are up already.
It's an hour and 4 minutes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Again, liberal. You know, you're a program director. You can take the time to listen to a tape. What is this? Come on, what are you doing? We're still waiting.
Wow.
25 seconds now. We're waiting for this guy's demo tape.
He's creating the drama.
This is America's Liberal. Don White.
I think
own the world's.
Let me just say, we have found today's winner. You know how you know?
Yes.
You know, I just told you when you know, like
right.
The first 20 seconds,
yeah.
I know already.
You know this is the winner?
Yeah. We've got today's
good
winner.
About this
oh, do I?
Remember when all those Republican radio hosts said that the election was going to be a cakewalk? It was going to be the same thing as when our soldiers came in Iraq. As Dick Cheney said, they're going to meet us with flowers. It didn't happen. It's going to be a close election. Listen to the America's Liberal about Iraq, guns, tax cuts for the wealthy, affirmative action. Talk to me. I'm a Kennedy Democrat. Get used to it. That's right.
It just said, listen to the America's Liberal.
Oh, my.
New sound, new ideas. It's time for a new talk radio format.
You're goddamn right.
For America's Liberal. I'm Don White, and I challenge all comers on the right. And if you're on the left, you better check your backbone.
All right, well, listen,
there it is, Don. No argument here.
My apologies to Tommy Mason, to Jeff and Mike.
Right.
To Rob Gerard,
we
a.k.a.
We found the winner today.
No, this is the guy. We got to do a break. But when we come back, we will call this guy.
Good. Yes.
And frankly, I think we can speak on station management that we're not happy with the Bill O'Reilly Show that's currently run here on WJFK.
Yeah, we can say that. We'd certainly find him to be a suitable... You know, there are plenty of right-wingers on.
That's right.
And he's just so good.
Yes.
Like the Knight of Old Order, I'll put a mixture in the markets.
A mixture.
It's time for a political show.
It's time for a political show.
City. Who like the Sopranos. After all, what has happened to the great liberal tradition of Manhattan?
Oh.
All of talk radio can't be satisfied by the likes of Russian Handy.
Right.
Aren't you ready for a radio...
Wait a minute.
Russian Handy.
Handy. I believe that was Hannity. That
right.
Was,
yeah. Russian Handy.
Oh. Live, on air. Stand up and praise Hillary.
That's what something everybody at Chernobyl was praying for right before that place blew up, a Russian Handy.
Right-wing, angry white male listener will not get the message and call. Remember, liberals are the best thing to ever happen to America.
You know, this is...
I can give you the
list. Not helping.
Not helping at all.
All right, we got our guy. Let's
give him a call.
We've got our finalist.
Call him in a minute.
We have got our finalist. We will call him, and I think we will offer him a job. He is scary to get a job. You are a good DJ.
A good DJ.
Oh, and look, he's the only guy. I'll say this, as for all these other tapes, even the bad community DJs that
right?
have their picture on their CD, this guy has packaging. He's got himself a little logo.
Yeah.
And he's got himself some business cards.
Oh, bright colors.
Bright colors. America's liberal, Don White, supreme talk talent.
My show on KFNX Phoenix. And later, a few clips from the Mike Rose Show in Atlanta, where I was a weekly featured guest on Bash the Liberal and Mandy.
You know, here's the thing. The word A is like the word the.
Yes.
You can say...
You say the or uh-huh. You know, there's actually, in the school, they teach you that.
That's
Excuse
right.
Excuse me. You can say, are you going to go to the store?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can sound stupid and say, are you going to go to the store?
I bought a hot dog at the amusement park.
The amusement park.
Wow.
And it's what it is, I think, it comes from... reading problems.
Uh-huh.
That's my understanding.
Right. I think you're right.
Even if it's where it shouldn't be.
And really, I would like to, maybe if we get this guy on the air, when we get through the initial, I know you want to offer him a job, I'd like to ask about his reading.
You got it.
Yeah.
And the word and is another one. Like,
mm-hmm.
You could say, hold on, Rob's getting a call.
Yeah.
You could say, for instance, I would say to Mike, do you need me to get you a paper?
No, I need you to get me a paper.
Okay.
Would you go to the store and get me a paper?
I would, but I don't know. Do you have the time? No, I guess that's correct, though. What is the time?
Oh, do you have the time?
It would be the time.
Right. It always would be the time.
But I guess the one that really sticks out the most is the letter A and the word A.
There's only one appropriate use of the word the, and that is if you play for Ohio State. And you're going to be introduced on the AP All-America football team, and you say, the Ohio State.
But now they all do it. Now all the college guys.
Ohio State owns that.
No, I think Miami now has taken over ownership of that.
What? Nobody's ever seen Miami. The original.
They use the.
But all those guys.
They say the.
You know, they do say something like that.
Yeah, probably.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
As many of you know, we have lost our dear friend, Rod Roddy. Rod's many television friends and all of us associated with The Price is Right will miss his splendid talent and his great sense of humor. May God bless Rod.
I am wearing a handsome medal from the Special Olympics. Christopher Whittam, stand up here. Christopher was on the championship basketball team in the Special Olympics, and he presented me with his medal. Yes. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you. I am honored. Now, who's our next player, Burton?
The Don and Mike Show.
The many moves of Bob Barker.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
That's a swell medal. We're not messing around here, folks. This is Network Radio, nationwide and coast to coast. It is the best of Don and Mike and me. Oh, yeah. I'm your old buddy, Rob Spiewak. Great show today. I got to tell you, I've been laughing. I have been laughing, and let's move on. We started today's show with Don eating cicadas. Well, everyone wanted to get in on the cicada act, and our very own Joe Artinger went out and did some man-in-the-field work. Yes, it's Joe's cicada tape. Oh, you're going to like this. This is like a biology lesson. It's more exciting. It's Joe Artinger on the best of Don and Mike.
And these are chronological, so I should point out that as the hour gets later, Joe gets more departed.
As the numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger.
And as of segment two, he hadn't even gone outside yet, right?
He was actually calling his friend.
So this past weekend,
Chucky for the Moonshine.
17th anniversary of the skaters, here is the world's oldest phone screener, Joe Artinger. Part three of a five-part series.
Check that. One, two, Whoa! All right. We're gonna check it out. Check test 1 2 1 2 1 2. I think we're recording, and we're definitely. If we're not recording, we're pouring. Here you go. This is a wicked shot of vodka, and I wouldn't want to. Wait a minute. I gotta do this right. All right, I wouldn't want to do this without my friend Rob Spiewak. So let me see what I got.
You're gonna try to call.
What I'm doing, and I want to explain this because it's like 1:30 in the morning. It's 1:30 in the morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you know, hold on. We're not doing this chronologically because Buzz, didn't he call you before this?
At about 1:25, 1:30.
You know, that might have been at the end of.
Well, we haven't heard this.
Two.
No, I think that maybe he's messed up at that time because I don't think I got the call till 1:10.
All right.
If my cell phone was right.
All right. So we're still on number three then, right?
This is Arninger.
Check. Big
shot. 1 2.
Let me fast forward just a little bit.
About to pour. Well, we hear him pouring himself a shot of vodka.
Whoa. All right. We're going to check it out. Check test 1 2 1 2 1 2. I think we're recording. And we're definitely, if we're not recording, we're pouring. Here you go.
Okay, we heard this part.
This is a wicked shot of vodka. And I wouldn't want to, wait a minute. I got to do this right. All right, I wouldn't want to do this without my friend Rob Spiewak.
Joe.
Let's see what I got here.
Of course you wouldn't.
What I'm doing, and I want to explain this, because it's like 1:30 in the morning.
Please
it's
do
1:30 in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. You can only do this if you're me. You can't do this if you're anybody else. And if you're Pat Goss, you can't do this at 1:30 in the morning. You probably wouldn't even want to. Hold on, I just poured a shot of vodka like I promised before. Yum. With sugar and lime. Oh. Whew. I'm going to save most of that for a minute.
Did he say sugar and wine or
lime.
Sugar and lime?
Lime. Sugar and lime. He's making himself a lime drop.
Lime and vodka. Okay.
You see if I can focus.
The door's on in the background.
People are strange. You heard it too.
But it's strange.
Little silly screen.
What?
Here. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to push this. Wait a minute. Three. No, not that.
I like the music in the background.
There's 34.
This is Arninger.
All right, let's call Rob Spiewak. Let's call him on the air.
Even though Joe's not on the air.
Well, but he's doing
it. Oh, by the way, in the background you hear the doors, which is cool, man. Doors are awesome.
Agreed.
And that would be our classic rock station. WClassicRock.com.
He gets the call letters wrong every time.
It would be that.
It would be. Thank you, Joe? Hello, Joe?
Hold on.
Okay.
I know there's a little bit of dull pause as we... They used to call it pregnant pause. Now they just call it dull pause. Almost sounds like a laxative. Oh, there it is, Rob Ag.
This is
strange. All right, here's what I'm doing.
What are you doing?
I've got so many wires running around here, too, but I'm going to hit this talk button, and we're going to call Rob and see what he's up to. What we're going to do this as best as we can. Hopefully we're running tape. I don't even know.
Yes, you are, Joe. This is good tape. We're playing it now.
Going on.
He's so Joe.
I'll let you hear his entry, his message, if I can get it together.
He's now digging to Foreigner.
He's not gonna answer because it's all crazy at Rob's.
Joe.
Of Rob Seawack. To leave a voicemail, press 1.
I'm going to press 1.
Good, thanks, Joe.
Hey, Rob, you're live on Ardinger here. It's called Ardinger here, and you're live on it. So pick up the phone, please. Because I don't have any locusts out here, or cicadas, or any of that stuff.
He's calling you on your cell at 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's wondering how come you're not picking up.
Yeah, because you're on Ardinger here.
Yeah, Ardinger here.
Pick up! I need a guest real quick.
Hey, Ron.
And I don't have Don's number, so could you give me Don's number, maybe? And then I'll call him.
Well, thank God you didn't pick up.
Well, maybe not.
Good idea.
Probably a good idea. You know, you always think of the right things, Rob. Hey, thanks. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Ardinger out.
Hey.
Well, you know, Rob's busy, and he can't be bothered with, you know, he can't be bothered with my 16 beers and my 2 shots of vodka.
Okay, so now...
Oh, boy.
Now, this is the first...
Oh, dear.
This is the first time that we've gotten an indication...
Call the paramedics.
...of what Joe's had. 16 beers and 2 shots of vodka.
Wow.
Rob commands more. But, like I said, here goes the first shot of vodka. Here we go. And let me just take a time...
Hold up. Didn't he do a shot of vodka at the beginning of this segment?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Check. Because I called Rob at 1:33 a.m. And I'm still waiting for the cicadas, and they're just not out there. But we still have WCX. Oh, we have W Classic Rock something.
He's getting tired.
In the background. Well, listen.
He's fine.
Here, let me turn that up.
Is he going to jam to the music?
It's Foreigner.
Foreigner.
Tell me if you... If you had a chance to see Foreigner free on the street corner, would you even show up? Probably not. Anyway,
Ardinger
out. We'll be right back. On Washington Superstation, 106.7 WJFK.
I
just took a shot of vodka right after I said that.
Ooh, ha.
Anyway. Ardinger out on... Washington, D.C. Superstation, 106.7 WJFK.
Wow. Well, that's all there is to segment number 3.
Fantastic, Joe.
Let's see.
You're continuing to entertain.
Oh, no, Rob, you got to look at the clock. Look at the clock. We got... No, Buzz, listen, we would have a riot on our hands. Everybody wants the news and comments with Buzz. We have 2 more segments. All right, we'll tease it.
Teaser.
I'll tell you, we've got over 10 more minutes of this to get to.
Yeah, and he's getting worse.
Here's
your... Better.
Better.
Here, I'll give you a 30-second tease of segment number 4.
Very good.
Here we go.
All right, now we're calling Buzz. Hello? Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hello.
It's Joe Ardinger. Hey, you're live from Joe Ardinger's backyard.
You can almost hear Buzz.
Hold on, I have to hold your...
I didn't know he made it through to you.
...the microphone. Hold on.
Buzz said this the other day, I think. Right, Buzz?
All right, now, talk again.
Okay, hello, Joe.
I can hear you. That's cool. Now, you have to verify that it's like 1:35 in the morning.
Yes, yes, you've awakened me at 1:35.
Now, I'm sad to say.
Oh, there's the tease.
Yes.
But listen, and I'm a buzz coming through.
Yes, you've awakened me at 1:35.
Tomorrow, in the opening segment... Well, who am I kidding? Tomorrow, yeah, right. Tomorrow we'll finish it up because, you know, it's one of those things we can't sit every day on because the cicadas are going to be gone.
This is Arninger. And, you know, I think this is my new favorite impression of him.
Check test, 1, 2. Oh, excuse me. And some of those locusts in my throat.
Locusts. All right.
Buzzy. Tomorrow we'll hear all of Joe's tapes.
Micah, check it, check it, check it. Ooh, that's sweet. Here, I have to turn this up as much as I can.
In the game of life, what's in your credit report?
It's amazing when, like, when you've had that much to drink, where certain words become different words. Turn becomes train. I have to train this up.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the point of this?
Oh, let's see. Mayor McKeldin, he was our mayor. Don't you have a booklet with our history?
We've got all that. But why'd you decide to do a frog hop?
Well, he sent me an application when he was mayor, and I thought, we're in a world, and I said, we're in something. I'm going to get a frog. So nobody had a frog. I'm a city girl. The mayor at that time was a city fellow.
Okay.
So I started you all.
We have to run right now, but thank you, and it looks like a really good idea. In fact, we've got some frogs on the loose. It's going to be going on for a couple more minutes, and look out, because here come the frogs.
The Don and Mike Show. If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Come on, let's have a frog hop. It is the best of Don and Mike on a good-looking Thursday afternoon. Hey, folks, it's your old buddy Rob Spiewak. What we've got here is a tremendous block of rock. I think you're going to like it. It talks about a lot of things, and when I think naked celebrities, clown porn, Walter Cronkite, Harry Potter, a gay television network, and Nazi license plates, I think of one thing. I think of the best of Don and Mike.
Would you be surprised if I told you that of all the celebrities who are not naked,
right?
If you had a picture of Britney Spears,
uh-huh,
you get the most money for it.
That'd be the one?
That would be the one.
That's the big, and, but she's not naked anywhere.
No, I mean, she's naked everywhere, but she's not naked on film.
Right.
Britney Spears or Angelina Jolie.
Oh, boy.
They are...
But wait a minute, but I've seen...
Yeah.
You know, there are movies where she's been naked.
This is... Not from a movie.
Ah.
This is if they were going to pose.
Mm. Okay.
For Playboy, Penthouse, and stuff like Stuff and
right.
Maxim doesn't count.
Right. Okay. All right.
So they're talking about your main skin magazines.
Mm-hmm. How much they'd pay?
Who would they love to have? They would pay $1.2 million for either Britney Spears or Angelina Jolie.
And neither one of them needs that money. Right.
Playgirl magazine says that they would pay Justin Timberlake $400,000.
Now, why are the guys getting less money? That's what I wanted to
know. The show is twigs and
they
berries.
They always do. I don't know. Because, I mean, I would think, really, it should be equal that, the guys and the girls should...
But, Mike, hold on.
Be an equal moneymaker.
Yeah, let me finish. Playgirl fans. George Clooney? No, that's $1 million.
Oh, okay. All right, if you get Clooney.
And if you get Brad Pitt, $2 million.
Really, $2 million.
If he would pose... Remember we had Playgirl in here a couple of weeks ago.
Boy, did we.
The queerest magazine. The cheapest celebrity, I mean, I'm sure there are some who, obviously, there's lots more who could command less.
Sure, right.
But on the list Playboy and Penthouse got together... Matthew McConaughey is at the bottom of the celebrity list. Playgirl would only pay $200,000.
Really?
For him to get naked. They would pay more for Ryan Seacrest to get naked.
Wow.
Than they would Matthew McConaughey.
Who would?
Oh, you know, hold on. Before I get to this other stuff, I know what time it is. Say, kids, you know what's opening next week? The Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
And what's your Harry Potter getaway station? This station.
Yay!
Whatever station you're listening to right now.
It's
Don and Mike's show.
I love that music.
We're going to call a Harry Potter hotline where every day Harry Potter has a message, I think, for one specific fan. I'm not really sure exactly
great service
how this works, but it's just, let me get the Harry Potter hotline.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to the Harry Potter hotline.
Oh, here it is.
I'm your host, Harry Potter. To hear about the movie, press 1.
I don't care about that.
To hear about what the merchandise is that we're offering on the Harry Potter hotline, press 2.
I don't want to hear that.
To hear Harry Potter's tribute to his number one fan, press 3. Hi, Rob.
Oh, hi.
I'm Harry Potter. And I'm looking at you.
You're a magical sorcerer, aren't you?
There's no one like Rob Spiewak. That's why today I've written a poem. Ode to Rob.
Oh, this is good on the Harry Potter hotline.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I like Robbie, and you will too. Rob's so big and very strong. I've known him for quite some time. That doesn't rhyme. His rubber plate sucks. Can't eat any corn at all. Gosh, am I frustrated. I'll tell you, when I have to eat my food through a straw, I only think of one man.
Who's that?
Rob Spiewak.
And who are you?
Hi, Don. I'm Harry Potter. Touch my magic wand.
Thanks, Harry.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for calling the Harry Potter hotline.
Bye-bye.
Can I get one person to say goodbye to me? Please?
Doesn't want to hang up.
Sure.
Please.
Hold on. Here he is.
Hello.
Isn't this a tape?
Rob.
HP.
Harry Potter.
How are you?
How are you?
It's, you know, it's been too long.
God, I miss you.
Hey, guys, three words I want to say to you.
Sure.
Outback Steakhouse.
Would you like to go?
Love to.
I'm in L.A., but I'll fly across the country to enjoy a porterhouse with you.
We can split an onion.
Rob.
Harry.
I'm wearing my robe.
Okay, hang up now, Harry.
The fuzzy one. Bye!
Bye, Harry.
Run, Rob.
I feel dirty.
That's the Harry Potter hotline. You know, that's supposed to be a number that any young boy or girl, any lad or lassie could call.
That's scary.
And yet, for whatever reason, it's like just for Rob speed bump.
It seems like it's customized to Rob.
Huh.
I don't get it.
Rob.
Interesting.
You know what? Don't put that away. Leave that music in there, because I'm going to call that again later.
I think that's smart.
Because I think that was just Harry Morgan. You know, the guy from MASH.
No way.
That's what I think.
Absolutely no way.
You remember a couple of months ago. Here we go. Spotlight on Las Vegas.
Hey.
Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah. I don't know how many months ago this was, but we got caught up in this thing, the hunting for Bambi. Remember where there was a guy in Las Vegas who said for $25,000, you come out to his ranch, there's naked and semi-naked girls. You can shoot them with paintballs.
Right.
And then you get a videotape of it. And it was implied that after you shot them with paintballs, you would shoot them with paintballs some more. And then you would...
you would have your way.
You would reload and shoot them again.
You would have it your way. Yeah.
And then after we talked about it, actually, I think we got hipped to it by whatever our CBS affiliate TV station is in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
They did a story on it. They sent us an email.
Right.
We talked about it. As it turns out, the whole thing, we found out a few days later, was a scam. And now here's the very latest.
Oh.
The Hunting for Bambi creator has admitted it was a scam. He was in court in Las Vegas on Tuesday, and he pleaded guilty. Misdemeanor charges. They gave him a 6-month suspended sentence, and they fined him $1,000. He said the paintball hunts were real as part of an advertising strategy for his videos.
What we were talking about when we had this story out the first time was the pain involved.
Yeah, that's good.
Because, we played paintball, and you get hit by a paintball
at
even slightly close range, it's going to hurt.
He's talking about beautiful girls and bikinis. And,
right.
And
ow, don't hurt me.
Anyway, and the story, if you remember when we were looking at the story, and it had every element that you need in an unbelievable story, like that German businessmen were flying over here from the Deutschland and paying $25,000.
I'm from Dusseldorf. I wish to shoot the bikini girls.
For the chance to do this.
And it wasn't bikini. They were naked, right?
Well,
both.
Bikini is what it started as. And
right.
As you paid more money, the girls were naked and more stuff happened.
I used to go hunting now.
The guy said during his testimony, while he pleaded guilty,
right.
You know, is there anything you want to say? And he said, I'm embarrassed.
I was just trying to sell a video, and I was really doing this for the city of Las Vegas.
Oh, come on.
So the judge said, you know, get bent.
And I love it when a judge says that.
It took his money. I think we mentioned earlier in the day, oh, I know, when we were talking about that that great, absolutely X-rated show, Two and a Half Men.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mentioning that we work for CBS. We're proud to work for CBS.
Yes, of course we are.
And I want you to know something, Mike. CBS, long rumored, Viacom, is coming out with its first ever gay network.
An entire network?
Now, hallelujah.
Coming
can
out.
You guess what the name is? Now,
I mean,
keeping in mind we don't do the show that we used to do.
Right.
It's not like Bung TV.
No.
No. The Rainbow Network?
It's not the Rainbow Network.
That'd be good.
No, it's not. It's not Clay Aiken TV. The name that they have chosen is Logo. Logo. Logo.
Logo.
Logo. L-O-G-O. L-O. Logo. Hello.
Hello.
This is Logo.
Logo. I don't get it.
Nor do I.
No one does anybody try to explain it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get Spike TV either.
Well, that's, I guess, for men.
Spike's kind of a macho, hey, Spike.
Yeah, but Logo.
Right.
Logo. Would gays like Logo? I mean,
don't know.
Everybody likes logos. Sure.
Oh,
I've got the Tommy Bahama logo on today.
Yeah, wearing them.
Maybe it's Logo.
I haven't thought about that.
Yeah. Or maybe
we don't, certain things you don't need to say anything more.
Or in extreme cases, maybe it's Logo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Logo. Logo will be available on cable systems throughout America, 14 million homes. Now, here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to be gay programming, though.
Really?
It's not going to be like, what do you do when you come home from a date and your man's pits smell like B.O. and you want
right.
to, you know, whatever the gay issues are, they're just going to run regular shows.
Like Bewitched?
They're going to run. They don't have a list of shows. They've not sent us a list of shows that they're going to run.
The Galloping Gourmet?
They're going to get a monthly gay news magazine from CBS News.
Uh-huh.
They're going to have MTV-style news breaks.
Okay.
And
tonight on Logo, it's another episode of The Walton.
And they're going to and they're gonna run videos.
Uh-huh.
Now, outside of running like George Michael videos.
Right.
I mean, what do you...
George Michael!
I mean, and Robbie Williams...
Right.
Whatever that guy's name is.
Right.
How many hours of the day can you possibly fill?
They have any interview shows or anything like that?
Doesn't say anything like that.
Tonight we'll talk to Rob Lowe.
Just says that gays, this is someone from CBS now.
Gays.
Gays are a huge force in cable.
Really?
Yes. And also, we don't think Logo is indecent.
Don't you think we should put together our gay network? I mean, our gay... I mean, you've always fancied yourself as a TV program director, and I would say, what is the, what would be your primetime night?
You
had to do it, if you had that big, bulletin board.
I tell you what, I wouldn't pander to my gays. I wouldn't put crap on like Will and Grace.
No.
Where you've got, you've got the gay... Okay.
Yeah, where it's the over-the-top stereotypical gay guy.
There's the gay guy who's okay, and then hold on. There's the faggot. You know what I mean? Like, with the funny one comes in,
uh-huh.
as soon as he comes in, and he's talented, but the way they set it up on that show is, I guess it's Will, is that the guy that lives with Grace?
Right, right.
He's the gay guy who, you can tolerate.
Well, okay, first
and then the other guy comes in and is like, hello! That's what I do when I go out with other men.
He's great at making entrances. That's part of his thing. You need an anchor man to anchor the whole thing. May I suggest Stone Phillips? you're not beating anybody over the head with it. It's just, there it is. Rugged good looks of Stone Phillips.
If you go with the second string network guys, are you familiar with John Siegenthaler from NBC?
Is it Siegenthaler?
Whatever it is.
John Siegenthaler.
He loves wearing a red tie.
Yeah, power tie.
And the guy on CBS,
John Roberts. Have you seen him? The next in line for Dan Rather? Absolutely.
They could all be dreams.
I'm John Roberts.
Anyway, it's coming soon. They say they're not going to use profanity. There's going to be no sex on a gay channel. It's mainstream programming that shows you will see everywhere else, except it's targeted to gays.
People's Court. That works with anything. Yeah.
Anyway, and also, just because I'm crazy about gays, you should know that Rosie O'Donnell, who should just really shut up, just, shut
enough.
The frig up.
It's thank you for tuning in to Logo. It's another Bonanza Marathon.
You know, the thing, well, now it seemed like that could work. And so could my three sons.
Andy Griffith.
I mean, so could Batman and Robin.
Oh, sure.
Think about all
fantastic.
All your great homoerotic shows.
Hey, don't leave everybody out. How about Jake and the Fat Man? Something for everyone.
Mannix.
Barnaby Jones.
Right. Like, you tell me that he was getting it on with Lee Merriweather?
Right.
I think not. Judd Clampett when he was Barnaby Jones?
You're watching Logo. Stay tuned for the Magnum Marathon.
And what about designing women?
Oh, yeah. We, yeah. Yeah.
Design them.
Yeah, I think that would work. That would work. Family Affair.
Anyway, Rosie O'Donnell, who is also a gay, just won't shut up about it, about being gay.
No.
You know, for years she hid it when she had the TV show, and she pretended to all the housefrows
That she liked Tom Cruise.
She loved Tom Cruise,
right.
You know, which was just ridiculous, because everybody knew it wasn't so.
Right.
Then she didn't handle it the right way. She.
Well, don't you find, though, I mean, when you look back at that, don't you find Tom Cruise kind of womanly? Yeah. I find Tom Cruise very womanly.
Well, listen, there's a million gay rumors about Tom Cruise.
Yeah, well, so, you know, I it was probably easier for her to fake it.
So Rosie O'Donnell has the TV show, and then she's gay, and then all of a sudden she's not doing a TV show that's funny, it's about issues, and she's, like, just radical and shut up, and she, remember she had the Hitler hair for a while?
Right.
The Boy George thing, and she had the magazine. And she had a magazine that was supposed to be like Ladies Home Journal. Thing goes out of business. She ends up suing the guy that's in the magazine, whether she's like fighting with people all the time.
Right.
Now she's got a gay cruise line,
mm-hmm.
and she's coming out with a magazine for gay families only.
Really?
Yes. She's the editor. She's the publisher.
Is it called Logo?
It's the Rosie O'Donnell. You took the words right out of my mouth. Logo by Rosie O'Donnell.
Logo.
Hold on. Here's some people who maybe know something about Logo. Miguel. Hey, Miguel.
Oh, dear. Miguel.
Hold on. Miguel. Joe.
This is Joe.
Joe, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, what about BJ and the Bear?
Perfect. Okay, now that would be another great show for the Logo Network.
Be fantastic.
Hello, Miguel.
You know, don't they all work?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, for your gay children, you could have He-Man as the cartoons.
Yeah, He-Man would have to run every morning.
Yeah.
But yes, for, as you say, for the gay children. For the gay kids that are being brought up in the gay gay homes, let them watch that. Okay.
I'll look forward to its debut.
I need the special music here.
Oh, yes.
Because... Spotlight now, Mike, on if we could get serious for a second.
I always like to once in a while.
If I could just get down to brass tacks with you for just a second, as soon as Rob finds the music. Now, we like highlighting stories about circus performers
mm-hmm.
that tumble to their death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened again recently.
Yes.
Right? It was just a couple weeks ago, another one of those.
Yeah, a lady fell off the high wire.
Minneapolis.
But, Mike, it's a different ball game. When you got to talk about Spanky the Clown.
Oh, no.
Spanky's been with Ringling Brothers of Barnum and Bailey Circus for many years. Let me show you a picture here of Spanky.
Oh, look at Spanky.
Isn't he cute?
The flame red hair, the red nose, the big blue bow tie.
So he's good with kids.
You just can't help yourself, can you?
You know something we don't?
Huh? No. I just, you know, kids love clowns.
Spanky's arrested on porn charges.
Oh, dear.
You know, sometimes I wish this was TV.
Oh, God. And it's not just porn. It's kiddie porn.
Oh, no.
Kiddie porn for Spanky.
Oh, Spanky.
Let me see. Customs agents say that they've been looking at... Spanky the Clown. Also known as Thomas Rico. They've been looking at Spanky the Clown for about a year now.
Oh, no.
They've looked at his credit card bills. They've looked at tens of thousands of names from internet porn sites that he logged on as. The circus says... We don't know this Spanky that you're speaking of. We only know...
Spanky doesn't work here
we
anymore.
We only know Tom Rico. We don't know if he... And right now, they don't know if he's done anything with any kids at the circus.
Oh,
they don't think so.
Very bad.
This is another guy that gives all the good, solid, straight clowns out there a bad name.
And it's just the series of clowns, these evil clowns.
And the name... Spanky.
Spanky.
And you gotta see. You know what? You go to CNN.com Do a search on Spanky the Clown.
We'll find it.
And you'll see this picture. Now, Mike, take a good look at the picture of Spanky the Clown.
It's so typical. It is so typical. Oh, that is one disturbing. You know, clowns scare me anyway.
I know. And like they've
Thomas Alan Rico.
They've been tracking him for years, and they finally found him, and his name is Spanky.
Or Riccio.
His name is Spanky, Ricardo, or whatever.
Thomas Alan Riccio.
Whatever the hell his name is.
And he's got, oh God, that is disturbing.
I know it is. Look at the picture. His name is Spanky. I ask you, Ringling Brother or Barnum or Bailey, what are you going to do about this PR? You got your acrobats being squashed like bugs.
Yeah. It's the season, too. I mean, this is when the circus comes to town.
You've got Spanky out there with his child pornography.
You know what this is doing? This is putting the squeaky clean reputation of circus performers at risk.
Yeah, and it's the reason Baby cries the day the circus comes to town.
Hey. Hold your feelings inside.
Don't cry out loud. Hold your feelings inside. And when you fail, as you will, just remember, you almost had it all.
Just like Spanky.
Loser.
He had the clowning world at his feet.
Yeah. His big feet.
His big oversized feet. That is a disturbing photograph.
It is. Have you
can't stop looking at it.
Did you do the CNN search for it, Buzz?
No, I was just looking for Google images, but there he is, Buzz.
Go to CNN.
No, I've seen him.
Oh, have you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you knew about it, of course. You were a step ahead of me.
Newsman.
Yeah, yesterday we mentioned, here's another picture that I wanted to show you, Mike.
Okay.
The woman with the Nazi license plates.
Oh, dear.
Woman in South Africa has upset Jews with her car's personalized license plates.
You think?
They say Nazi WP. I don't know what the WP stands for. Here is the picture of the woman very proudly standing in front of her car. With the license plates, N-A-Z-I, Nazi-WP.
Wow.
Let me see. And now here's what she says. She says that it's her name. Now, her name is S-H-A-N-N-A-A-Z. S-H-A-N.
Shanaz?
Shanaz.
Mm-hmm. And that clown has a big Shanaz.
And she said her mom abbreviated Shanaz to Nazi when she was 1 year old.
I'm sorry. I'm not buying it.
And it's been her nickname ever since.
Hey, Nazi.
Now, I don't get this because this girl in this picture appears to be about 20 years old.
Well, the nickname theory is accurate because we've had program directors who we've given that nickname.
Understood, but they're not sure. Can you imagine that you got like a 3-year-old girl?
Yeah.
Hey, Nazi! Come on, who wants... And can you imagine the confusion if you played a game?
Right.
Nazi wants to play Yahtzee.
Oh, man, Nazi.
So now Nazi, believe it or not, some people found the license plates to be distasteful.
Really? Yeah, I would say so.
You think so?
I think Nazi's, I just don't think Nazi's telling the truth.
Nazi says she has a great regard for the law and that she has agreed to change the plates even though she thinks it's very unfair. And also, sidebar that you should know on this.
Right.
She's had the Nazi plates for 8 years.
Oh, my God. And now it's finally getting noticed?
Wow. Somebody called the cops.
Well, maybe she lives far away.
And hold on. Here's a good follow-up. Oh, I hope this guy's still on the phone. Hello, Don and Mike. You still there? Can I hang up on you? Hello?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Oh, no, it's a girl. I thought it was a guy. Hey, Don and Mike. Hello?
I think it's Nazi with pride. Is it WP?
Yeah, and we've had a lot of people.
Yeah, and she's trying to dupe them.
But we've had the weather callers saying it means white power.
Oh, okay, yeah, really?
Nazi WP. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, maybe the WP stands for white power.
Right. Okay.
You know, either one I could see. I mean, maybe she's just trying, now that she's gotten caught, she's trying to slither out of it. And what person named Shanaz isn't for white power?
But here's the deal.
If you're putting Nazi on your license plate and you are making some sort of evil political statement, you're probably not going to be fazed. I mean, if you're doing that, so she's either very, very stupid I don't buy the fact that she did this politically.
And all I know is that our phones are going crazy with people wanting to tell us that WP stands for white power.
Really?
So there you go. Advertisers, I know you quite often like to look inside the demographics of the Don and Mike Show. There you go. I only got time of...
Calm down, Sacramento.
CBS, besides having the logo network, okay, yes, the gay network,
right? Yeah.
You know, they have the Republican and the Democratic conventions coming up very soon. They're going to have to televise along with everybody else. Walter Cronkite wants to work.
Right.
You know what CBS said to him? CBS said, we'd love to have the great ultimate newsman of all time, Walter Cronkite, involved in our coverage.
Uh-huh. Walter Cronkite.
Then they sat him down in an office, and they said, Walter, here's what CBS is now. CBS is Viacom.
Mm-hmm.
CBS is all of these other networks. So, for the Democratic Convention and the National and the Republican National Convention, Walter Cronkite will be filing reports for MTV.
That's kind of cool.
I am not kidding.
That is kind of cool.
I am not I feel bad for Walter Cronkite.
But that's the only... It's not for everybody. It's MTV?
Just for MTV.
Right.
So, at least... Okay, now
kinda
hold
weird.
On. Hold on. At least Kurt Loder will have someone right. his own age now.
You're here all
Thank
week.
Thank you. I'm here all week. I'm here for the next 4.5 years. And Mike,
This is Walter Cronkite. Stay tuned for Road Rules.
How sad is yeah. Wild Boys? What is that show, The Wild Show? The Wild? Wild.
I don't know.
Wild.
I'm the Real World.
Wild. The last thing that I did want to mention, that it's been on the news. I saw it last night on the CBS Evening News, because I mentioned I work for CBS, we all do, and that's the only channel my TV gets.
I know. Tonight on Pimp My Rascal.
In 1992, in Singapore, they banned chewing gum.
Yes.
Now, it's 2004.
Really?
This was on the news last night.
God.
They've legalized chewing gum in Singapore.
Isn't that where the guy got caned?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right. However, there's a catch. If you want to buy chewing gum in Singapore, you have to register your name and your government ID card with a pharmacist.
Yeah, well, they have to do a background check.
Any pharmacist who sells gum to you without you having all of the paperwork
right.
gets fined $2,900.
It's not going to stop because the gum chewers are going to get their gum anyway.
So here's what they decided. They decided that gum is bad.
Right. I was trying to do the handgun.
I know you were.
It didn't work at all.
No, I got it.
Did he get it? Okay. I wasn't sure whether that was working at all.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, but they're just going to bring the gum into the inner city.
Yeah. If gum is outlawed.
Yeah, right.
Gum was legalized. Yeah, now this is where it gets screwed. Some guy from America is in on this. Some guy who's in the U.S. House of Representatives from Illinois got involved in this in Singapore.
Right.
Flew to Singapore and said, hey, dudes, how come you don't have chewing gum? It's like the greatest thing of all time. As it turns out, one of his constituents in the state of Illinois happens to be Wrigley.
Yeah, well, gum is a gateway snack.
You know, Wrigley, like Wrigley Field?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Wrigley gum?
Right.
So, as it turns out, Singapore has agreed that they will allow a therapeutic gum to be sold in their country.
Therapeutic gum? Mm.
The therapeutic gum that they have chosen is made coincidentally by Wrigley.
Of course it is.
It's Orbit gum.
Oh, Orbit, it lasts a long time.
Which has positive dental benefits.
Yes.
If you are caught smoking. If you're caught chewing.
It's a shame, though, after all this, that they're not going to get a stick of gum. And Orbit doesn't come in sticks.
No.
It comes in that little paper.
If you are caught, you know, it doesn't matter if you're chewing it, snorting it, pulling it like taffy. If you've got any kind of gum that's not Orbit gum.
I wish they weren't doing this.
You are going straight to jail.
Gum will lead to lozenges. Lozenges will lead to chocolate.
Mm-hmm. And you should know this as well about Singapore. Why you can get thrown in jail if you had a piece of Double Bubble or Tutti Frutti or
so
whatever.
So it's only a specific kind of gum.
Yeah, you can only have Wrigley's Orbit gum. That's the only kind that's been approved. Otherwise, you're going to go to jail.
Mm.
However, I should also point out, look, they did at the end of the news thing, they didn't make a big deal about it. Prostitution is legal and has always been legal in Singapore.
Would you give up your gum for prostitution?
I would.
That's the question that you buzz, but no hesitation from the newsman across the way.
Hello, Chris. Don and Mike. Hello, Chris.
Don and Mike, what's going on?
I mean, really, what is wrong with people?
Huh.
You can go over there and you could get anything that you're, oh, I love you a long time. And imagine you get done, you give her a quarter for what she's done, and then you say, you know what I'd love would be a piece of double mint gum. And that's when the cops break in the door.
Kick the door in.
What, did they say why gum is illegal?
Hold on.
It seems like a pretty strict rule.
It befouls the streets, buildings, and trains.
Okay, well,
you know what? Who hasn't stepped in gum once in a while? They're absolutely right.
That's Chris. Annoying. Hey, Chris.
Donnie Mike, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I wanted to let you know, my wife is from South Africa. The WP stands for Western Province. That's on a lot of license plates. And my wife is from Durban, so it's the actual license plate is from the province that you're in.
Okay, I buy that. That sounds credible.
So then it would just say Nazi Western Province.
No, it doesn't say Nazi. Yeah, it says Nazi Western Province. Like, my wife is from Durban, so therefore, like, her license plate would have NB on it for the Durban.
Okay, well, that's plausible. That's plausible.
Okay, but still, the woman did choose Nazi.
Yeah, that's true, but, yeah, that's what WP stands for.
I really think, since she's denying it, she's saying it was a nickname, she's just an idiot.
Hello, Rob.
Misunderstanding, she pronounces it Nazi. Would you like a stick of gum?
Would I? But I would like a hooker.
Yes, I consider it done.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Four. The Midnight Video Special. Looks like we got a terrific crowd here in the studio. Where are you from?
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Let's put up the old map there and see where that is. That's on Lake Erie, isn't it? There it is right there. They've got WMMS Buzzard Radio down there, which I understand is making the transition to video in the near future. Speaking of video, we got some for you right now. One of the leading popular musical bands who are front runners in blending their fine music with the magic of video. Let's give a warm welcome to Talking Heads. Terrific stuff. Hey, are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Not a very enthusiastic reaction. I think I'll just sweeten that over here on the audio board. Let's try it now. Having a good time?
Yeah.
That's a lot better. You know, we overlook sometimes what good audio can do to embellish video. With that in mind, it's time for our satellite report. And let's go live now over the international dateline all the way to tomorrow. And my good buddy, Tim Ishimuni. Fabulous new video from the Plastics. And a special thanks to Tim Ishimuni, our Japanese friend, for the remarkable scoop on that Japanese technology, which I imagine will be coming our way in the near future. I hope the import tax doesn't make it too costly for Mr. and Mrs. Average to afford. Thinking the fun to be had with a microcam. You know, whatever the product, let's face it, the Japanese have always had that little extra something special. But it's important to make sure, as Americans, that our priorities are with domestically produce products, because let's face it, there's a different kind of war going on today. You know, it's an important thing to consider.
If Americans really believe in free enterprise system, you can buy any product, no matter where it was made.
A little leak in our transmission module. I assure our sponsors will say so long for good to our little Japanese friend.
No, wrong guys. Say hello to superior technology. You can't stop it.
Jerry Todd here. Mayday, mayday, I am under video attack.
The attack is over. I am the new host of the Midnight Video Special.
Tim, I didn't think it would come to this. Effects bus. Mixer 2. Power boost.
For an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Sonny Jurgensen loves Blue Oyster Cult. I just gotta have more cowbell.
It's the best of Don and Mike with your old buddy, Rob Spiewak here. We got time for another segment here. Oh, you'll like this. He's dreamy, he's handsome, and he was Mr. Entertainment. Preston Mercer.
Who?
Yes, he was the star of that show, Love or Money, and Donna might give him a hard time. It's Love or Money's Preston Mercer on TBO DAM.
Now, here is Preston Mercer. Preston.
Yes, sir.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Preston.
Thank you for joining us. Preston is the dreamy, faux dreamy star for Love or Money. Now, Preston, to be honest,
we were in here, Preston, going back and forth about this show and trying to figure out the rules and everything that's good. There's a lot happening on this show.
There is, it started with 16 girls. How many girls have you already cut it down to?
I eliminated 10 girls on the first episode.
Wow.
Wow, that's really thinning the herd.
That is way harsh. Was it hard, Preston?
The first one was hard because I didn't really know the girls too much. So, I mean, it was pretty much a decision kind of just based off of first impressions and whatnot.
So you got... Oh, boy, you broke. You broke one of our rules by saying whatnot, but we won't hang up on
it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, no problem.
I don't know the rules of your game.
That, no. You know, it's primarily a rule for our callers, but Preston, okay. Don't worry about it. Now, the...
the winner of this show gets a ranch, right?
They get a, come again?
They don't get a ranch, Mike. Preston, we need you to explain the rules
to us.
We're
confused.
I heard, sorry, I'm getting the segue into the joke about the guy selling his ranch out.
It was a dry humor.
But you've got it now. But you've got this down. Now listen.
Right.
My wife watches this show every week. Our producer watches it. The show's getting good numbers. I want to understand this. You got it down from 10 to 6. Of the six girls that are left,
right?
How many do you know have a check for $1 million?
There's only one left.
Mm. Only $1 million girl left.
Right.
And now, if you pick the one with $1 million, do you get that?
No. The show's a little bit different now. Basically, the girl's going to get a choice to either take me or the money without knowing the amount of it, and then it goes back into my hands to make the choice of either the money or the girl.
So all right.
So at the very end,
I still don't.
You get still it. Don't get it, Mike?
I'm not a bright guy.
Let's say it's the very end, and you're ending up with there's one incredibly hot brunette slash brown. I'm not sure if you've thinned her from the herd or not. But let's just say that there's a beautiful.
I think I just got it. I just had an epiphany here. I just got it.
A beautiful woman.
So at the end, he picks the girl decides whether she's going to take Preston or take the check, which she doesn't know the amount of. Right, Preston?
Right.
Exactly. And then after that happens, you know how much money she's got, right? And if she picks you, then you get the same option, right?
Right, exactly.
But you know that you get $1 million if you tell her to take a powder.
If I take the girl with the $1 million check down that road.
Oh,
hold on.
It could be the girl with $1.
Wait a minute, hold on. Now,
okay.
Do you know how much money she's got?
Yes.
So there's only six girls left, and one of them has. Oh, and I've been asked to mention the show airs Monday night on NBC.
Correct.
Monday night, NBC, 10 Eastern and 9 Central Time on NBC, For Love or Money. Is this For Love or Money 2 or 3?
This is 3.
3.
Wow.
Okay, so you're down to 6, and one of the 6 you know has the check worth $1 million. Here's my dumb guy question.
Okay.
How do you fix this game so you pick that girl and get $1 million for yourself?
I wouldn't know if it's fixing as much as it's just.
Well, I mean, how do you, you know, if you
kind of playing the girl down that road, making her think that I'm into her, and she does the same with me. I mean, you know, we both could be playing each other.
How do you get?
I'm starting to get a real clear.
How
picture.
Do you get $1 million, Preston?
I would have to have the girl with the $1 million check fall for me, okay? And when I pick her in the end, she would have to turn around and say, "I choose you and not the money." Then at that point, I get the choice of choosing her or the money.
And you would take the money, or her.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All right, now, Preston, are you really looking for love?
And now I understand.
I do too.
Got it? Light on?
Yeah, now I've got it.
And are you looking for love, Preston?
You know, I went into the show because I didn't think the show was actually for love or money. I had no idea until about, you know, 3 days into it when it was kind of broken to me. But so I went in with the right reasons. I mean, aren't we all kind of looking for love, I guess?
So we don't find out in the end. Whether you are seriously into you looking for love or whether you're doing this just for the change.
I already know the answer. Listen, dude, everybody's looking for love. Anybody can find love, but everybody's looking for $1 million. Not everybody can find $1 million.
That's
so,
right.
You know what I mean? It's like women. My philosophy on them, and I've been married 23 years, so I can say this now. My philosophy is women are like trains. You miss one. The next one's 5 minutes away. Now, a guy coming by with a...
Good analogy. I'll take that to heart.
A guy coming by with a wheelbarrow full of $1 million,
mm-hmm.
He's not coming by every 5 minutes, Preston.
Yep, you're right.
He's only coming by... Actually, his day is always the 13th of never, is when that guy shows up.
Of never?
The 13th of never.
Preston, have you gotten lucky during the show?
Actually, no.
Really?
I didn't have any those type of situations.
Don't they have like hot tub scenes for you and the chicks?
Now because it's kind of been. I mean, there's some of, you know, there's that going on, but I actually was contractually bound not to go that far with the women.
Mm. Yeah, I was wondering about the contracts for all of these reality shows. There must be you have to sign yourself away in a lot of different ways, don't you?
Yes, most definitely.
And the most important one, of course, is secrecy. You can't reveal the outcome of the show before it's revealed to the public.
Right, the biggest one is the confidentiality agreement.
Have you French kissed the girls? I mean, on the show, do you French kiss them?
Heavy petting and French kissing. Sorry, I haven't said French kiss in a long time. I just wanted to say that. there was some kissing going on, yes.
Yeah, and heavy petting?
No, heavy petting, sorry.
Is there anything...
I can tell we're in two different generations. That's why I was laughing at the French kissing question.
Oh, well,
Hey, wait a minute.
Are you calling us old?
Hey, listen,
no, but
pal.
You young whippersnapper?
There's a little thing with the FCC, dude. And before I would have asked you if you simply thrust your ugly, hairy, pimply tongue down one of these girls' lovely virginal throats.
But we can't do that anymore.
Right, so just, you know, French
I'm
kissing.
I'm just kidding, buddy.
So am I. Here's a question. Do you get paid a salary, like if you were in Screen Actors Guild? Do you get a minimum? Do you get a salary that you've already negotiated to be on the show?
I actually did I got a per diem. It was pretty negligible, like a per day type thing.
Right.
It was minimal at best.
Yeah, we're not so old that we don't know what per diem means.
Okay.
We understand that means per day.
That was maybe for the viewers then.
Thank you, or the listeners. All right.
I mean, it was financially, it was more of a hit for me to do this because I left my job back at home and. It definitely wasn't so far been like the
Preston, are you a single, it says here that you're a mortgage broker. Are you a single successful guy? You make a lot of coin doing the mortgage brokering?
I actually own my own company.
Wow.
So it's not like huge, but I've got about 7 of us working here.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Did you leave any girls back in Boulder, Colorado, you know, when you went off to do this show?
I actually went in this with like no strings attached, thank goodness, which was good.
And did you mention that you quit your job?
No, I did not. I had the guys kind of run the shop while I was gone.
Oh, I get
you.
So you
left it behind.
Stepped away.
Temporarily.
Stepped away.
Yeah, but like the deals that I was going through, I mean, I gave those all to my boys and, you know, something from that financial standpoint.
What is your overall impression of women that get involved in these shows?
You know, I think most of them kind of go on it for the actual limelight, to be honest with you. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of beat around that thing, and I think that's people's initial attraction, I think, to going on to it. But the girls on the show this time around were, I mean, they were great. I don't think, I didn't really experience any of the drama that I've seen kind of on the television show. That was pretty much all behind the
scenes. Now, when you go into this show, do you look at these women and say, you know, I know you're contractually obligated not to have sex, but do you go into these shows and say, hey, if this was real life, you know, if we weren't in this environment, I could get her?
Yeah, I felt like...
Honest answer.
I mean, I was being confident enough going in there that I felt like I had a chance that in the normal circumstances, I could probably date some of these women, yes. Some of them, no. I mean, I think there was a few of them who've never actually chased after a guy ever in their entire life, and this situation was a little awkward for them.
Do you make them do humiliating things, or do the producers make them do, like, humiliating things for you? I mean, like, do they have to...
Eat slugs?
Yeah. Well, no, that's fear factor.
Oh, sorry.
But I will say, if you saw the basketball date, those girls were quite possibly the 3 worst basketball players I ever saw. God bless them, but... And that was a pretty funny date to be on.
Were they, when they played basketball, did they wear skimpy outfits?
Yeah, and they did wear skimpy outfits, yes.
Were they in heels?
No, thank goodness, high tops, I think.
So, how many more episodes, is it 6 or 5 more?
There's going to be 4 more. Total of 5. I think it went from 12 episodes down to 10 as a result of the Olympics, and I think...
Ah, the Olympics. Mm-hmm. The Olympics keeping you down.
Yeah, holding me down.
What do your parents think about you being on this show?
My parents are pretty cool with it, to be honest with you. They've been excited, and they're enjoying it, for sure.
So, really, just between us, I know you can't say what's going to happen, but I already know.
Yeah.
You're a single successful guy.
Right.
You're gonna take the money. Why would you? Let's say that one of these women you really have is, and they say in all these reality shows, we made an immediate connection.
But he doesn't get the money unless, unless he can convince the girl
before I even get a chance
with $1 million. And if he's already cut it down to 1, but then again, the strategy could be you cut it down to 1, but you know that the whole time you're gonna go after the one with $1 million.
Right?
Yes, okay.
I mean, you got to understand, too, you know, one thing that I think, at least that crossed my mind was, yeah, you could be put in that situation, but is $1 million in the form of annuity really worth, you know, turning a girl down on national TV?
Hold on. That's an important point.
Yeah, that is a point.
When you said annuity.
Yeah, that means $600 a year.
Right. They don't give you $1 million. That's like when a radio station gives away $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's like 20 grand a year for 40 years.
See, I'm a finance guy. You gotta figure all angles out on this type thing.
Right. I got you. All right. Well, then we will trust you, Preston, to make the correct solution to put the most coin in your pocket.
Okay.
Is this true, Rob?
That's what Beth Ann just said.
A girl had a nervous breakdown because she thought she was too old for you? Is that true?
Yeah, it looks like a nervous breakdown. She definitely had an issue with my age.
Did she use the term heavy petting?
You know what? And I think she is French
kissing.
Yeah. French kissing.
Yes.
Preston, please to inform us of the youthful jargon for French kissing now. What is used in place of French kissing now?
What is it, just tongue?
I don't know. It's just, I think that just slang has actually kind of gone by the wayside. I don't know. I like it, though. Keep rolling with it. It's definitely you.
Okay, you. Preston, we will.
Good. Well, you're good with it.
Thank you.
And for love or money is definitely you. And we'll book you again on this show, I think, on the 27th. That month I mentioned to you before. That month, it starts with an N. It's November. No, never.
Ever.
I'm kidding. You're a good guy. I love having you guys from the reality show. Last question, really, Preston.
By all means.
Any other pointers on being so goddamn cool?
None
for us. Means,
I would just say heavy petting, a lot of French kissing.
There you go.
Preston, good luck with the show. I hope it gets great ratings.
That's for you.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate your time.
All right.
You do.
We'll see you later.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Tool.
I didn't like him.
There he is. Well, guys don't have to like him, Buzz.
Right. Noted. Noted wit. Preston, what's his last name?
Whatnot.
That's his last name. It's Preston Whatnot.
Preston Whatnot.
Preston Whatnot. You know, and all of that, I got to be honest, I still don't understand the format.
No, I don't get it. Nobody has successfully explained it to me.
And what I've learned, I don't want to.
But all the broads watch the show and understand the show.
Whatever you do, though, if you want $1 million, don't say French kiss.
Hey, Preston, which girl did you enjoy courting the most?
Which one did you like sparking with the most? Man, this is a guy who really knows how to pitch some woo.
I hope he's getting a lot of swag out of it. I was pretty good, Mike.
Thank you.
There's some spooning going on.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in? Miracles, I guess, still happen now and then. Step into my heart, leave your cares behind.
I'd like to try to do my latest record. I tried it last night, but I didn't make it. I don't know the words to it, so I had to read it. If we give it up, just, you know, please forgive us.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind. Be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.